Just a minute. I don't see the red. There it is. Now we're recording. We're good. Here's Sarah. Here's Sarah right here, right now. So right, give us a second to get Sarah in.
Let's get Sarah in.
And Jim, Sarah and Jim both are here right now. So let make sure, I can't see them just yet, but make sure they are connected. Hey, Jim.
Aloha.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Carla. How are you?
Perfect.
Good.
Okay, we got everybody full board except for Eva, so we're good.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're recording.
All right, well, I'm going to call the meeting to order. I want to thank everybody for attending, and it looks like we have very, very strong participation, so I think that that's great news. Brad, I'm going to ask you for a favor if David's not here, but since I'm on vacation in the Grand Tetons, but and just for everybody, I enjoyed my first part of the week in Yellowstone, saw lots of animals and geysers. Now I'm in the Grand Tetons, but Brad, I'm going to leave in about an hour. So would you mind chairing the meeting in about an hour after I leave?
Okay.
But was that a yes or a
I'm going to take that as a yes.
That's a yes. That's a yes.
I sent my wife and son out to get us some provisions. So, all right. So with that, I think we need to approve the agenda. Is that the first item?
I have an objection to the agenda.
Okay, what's that?
The objection I have is I think we need to remove action item one from the agenda, and I'd like to make a motion to ask the election committee to come forward in October with a plan on how to handle the board elections going forward. It's our bylaws, also 624, and it's grossly unfair to the 10 candidates who have already come forward who wanted to participate in our previous election. So I think it's a bylaw non-stopper and should be removed. And my motion to have the election committee take a look at that should be moved.
And Lucky, I'm happy to do it either way. I mean, let me just be honest with the group. So I put that on the agenda because I didn't know whether we could have, I know we had two vacancies, and it seems like there's an important policy to try to fill vacancies if we can. I think that Don was the one that first pointed out that it may be a bylaws issue, and I think that David has looked at it further, and I think he's in agreement with Don.
David just joined, by the way, so he's...
Yeah. So I think in all likelihood that action item is not going to go anywhere, but the purpose of that as to what we're going to do about elections, because I think that everybody's concerned about elections.
And can we take it up when we get there?
That would be my thought, is we take it up when we get there, and then we appoint the committee to do sort of exactly what Lucky said. But I think we have such great community involvement, and we have so many people interested that I just put it on the agenda so that we'd have a discussion about elections and see if we could do something positive about it. So
well, I will withdraw my request. If it's understood that there will not be a vote to elect new members then at this time.
There clearly will not be a vote.
Understood.
There will be no vote to elect anybody tonight, no.
Okay.
It should actually be under an informational item and not an action item if there's not going to be action taken this evening.
I'd be happy, actually. Like, why don't you make a motion to change number one to be an informational item instead of an action item? Would you do that, please?
I will make a motion to do that, to change that. I'm sorry. Yes, Margaret.
I was going to second your motion.
To move action item number one to an information item and proceed from there.
Yeah. And Margaret, you second?
Yes.
Any further discussion?
Can we get public comment? Can we get public comment on that?
Don's raising
more
his
comment
hand
as well.
Don, let's go to Don. Don, do you have a comment?
Yeah, if you change it to an informational item, no problem here. Then does that preclude you from referring it to the community, to the committee with directions?
Oh, well, that's a good question.
I think we should just keep it as an action item because I don't want it to become informational and it hinder us from a possible action later on in the meeting. No.
Well, again, I mean, I apologize for creating confusion, but I put it as an action item just in case we could come up with some kind of idea or some guidance for the election committee. And so that's why I put it as a action item, just in case. I don't really know exactly what, I didn't know what we were gonna come with, but probably we're gonna give the election committee some kind of guidance or instructions. Yeah. So I don't know, Don, do you think it's safer to leave it as an action item?
That would be my feeling. I think informally, we're on maybe on the same page.
Yeah.
I would agree with Don as well.
Yeah, I think we are on the same page. I was concerned that when I read that we might actively be wanting to put forward a couple candidates from the reading of it and try and secure new members through a direct vote, which since we've got two, we can't do. We can only do that if we only had one to put forward. So it sounds like we're all on the same page now.
All right, so since we're all on the same page, will you withdraw your motion then?
I will withdraw my motion.
Okay, with that, is people ready to approve the agenda?
No, we have a change because of Todd Gloria is gonna be here at a different time, and when he's available, he's gonna speak, remember?
He's gonna be here at 6:30.
Yeah, so we need to, we may have to adjust and break in and accept the assembly member when he gets here and can speak. So that's the only other thing that might wiggle around with this agenda.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, with that understanding, are we ready to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Do we have a second? Thank you, Mandy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, looks like it passes. All right, good news. All right, so prove that. I don't think we have any board meetings. Sarah had to leave last time, so I'm not sure that we have any board meetings from the last meeting to approve.
Okay.
So we're gonna go to-
No, sorry, I wasn't there and I keep meaning to go back and be able to take the notes, but I've had a really busy month, so I will do that. I just haven't had a chance.
And Sarah, how would you like us to vote? I sent you that little sheet. Do you want to call a roll and check everybody off, or are you able to see everybody or hear, like, how would you like us to vote for the record?
I mean, good question. I guess one option would be whoever makes a motion could just email me at the end of the night.
That would
probably be the easiest, honestly.
Another option is to put it in the chat, because if you record the Zooms, there is a list of the chat for everyone that also is provided with the service.
Yeah, but the votes don't register. The green check and the red X don't register in the chat. It's only
that's good.
So it wasn't, I thought that from last time that we tried that, but it's not.
Well, then someone can just enter the final motion. So either Sarah can put the motion and put the counts for yay and nay. That's a possibility as well to have a recording.
I like the idea of just everyone email Sarah so she has it on record and nothing gets missed.
I think that's, for me, a lot easier if people just email me there, if they were the one to do the motion, if they just email me what the vote was. I think it's hard to like scroll through. Right now I'm on my phone. I have to like scroll through who's doing what. It's too hard.
Okay.
All right. Sarah, that sounds good to me. That's a lot like if we actually had a meeting in the library, right, where the person that does the motion fills out the motion paper. And
exactly. Meeting. So they just send it on email now for me instead.
All right, that sounds
perfect.
Good.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so now we're going to do a board report. So I'll start with the president's report, which I'm going to keep short, which is I'm very pleased, even though I'm on vacation, I wanted to participate because, I'll start with the board. I'm very proud of the board. Think that we've made a lot of good progress over the last three months, coming from dead in the water to moving again. Mark with project reviews got three projects. Mandy's doing a great job bringing things forward. Margaret's got long range planning going. And I know there's other people are doing, a lot of people are doing good things. So the board's doing great. The community is fully engaged. I don't think I've seen this many community people involved in our organization in the time I've been there. So that makes me really, really, really happy. And so I'm just pleased. And so that's why I thought, even though I'm on vacation, I want to be part of it. David, I don't know if you were here when I started, but I am on vacation. So in about an hour, I'm going to bug out. And so you're in line ahead of Brad. And Hopefully you'll be okay taking over and finishing out the meeting for me. And if not, Brad's also asked to help. So with that, I'll turn it over to David as vice chair. And David, do you have anything to report?
I do not.
Okay. Corla, treasurer?
Yes, our balance is the same as last month. There's been no action. It's 657.81. And the only reason I'll say again, we have money in there is because we did not have an election. Otherwise, that would have been spent. My request for a relief with Zoom costs have been ignored. So in lieu of reimbursement for Zoom expenses from the city, I'd like to request that they allow planning board hosts access to their virtual meeting forums. Everybody else is getting coronavirus relief except the planning board. So that would be my suggestion for that.
Okay. All right, Sarah, do you have anything? Do you have anything to add as a secretary?
No, not right now.
Okay. The next would be, I don't know, I invited Tony Kempton, but I don't see him. Do we know whether?
He's not here. He's registered, but he's not in the meeting.
Okay. All right. So then before we go to non-agenda public comment or to start non-agenda public comment, I know that Don felt it was important that he wanted to talk to the board and address some things that he was concerned about. So Don, I think we should do that in the beginning of the meeting. I want to make sure you get a fair shake. So if you want to address the board or make a comment, go ahead, pal.
I do, thank you. It's vacation season, obviously. I was in the mountains in Northern California. Fred is in a different state. Corla will be, next meeting will be in New Mexico. I briefed a member of the board extensively on where I was and what was happening. Names don't matter. And the message, however, that reached the board at the meeting was that I'd moved out of the area, selling my house, quitting the board. Nothing could be further from the truth. Our extended family was having a family reunion. It was in a very remote area, and I could not get on the system from this little town that 90 minutes away that didn't have Wi-Fi or a very spotty cell service. So I would just like to make everybody clear that I've lived in this house now for 46 years. They're going to have to carry me out. And the eight members who did vote were unanimous on asking the people whose terms had expired to extend them. That was under the guidance of the city attorney. So there's an interim before my name, and I take that very seriously, and I intend to meet my obligations.
Okay, well, Don, I just want to say on behalf of the board, we're very happy to have you here. And I know computer issues are frustrating, but I'm glad that you got logged in and you're here. And we're all looking forward to your participation.
Thank you. So,
welcome. All right, with that, Corla, you got any non-agenda public comment?
Thank you, I do. My very first and most important thing is I'd like to encourage everyone to vote. Due to the post office delays and all the other changes in our lives these days, I'd also like to say plan your vote and let's get it done early so everybody has a chance to have their voice heard. Also, sign in, this is sort of planning board business, but non-agenda. Sign in is not required by the Peninsula Community Planning Board, but if you want your attendance recorded for possible future elections or any other reason, please put your request along with your name in the chat for recording so that we can have that on record, or you can email me or email the secretary. We just come to that determination that we will do emails for verification, then Sarah can get them in the minutes. So if anybody wants their attendance recorded, please do that. And then I got a message from Officer Cirillo, who is out of town, so he won't be here tonight, but Officer Roman can be contacted on homeless issues, and I will place that email in the chat, so anybody has any homeless issues, they can contact them. That's it.
Okay. Margaret, do you have a comment?
I do. I've been attending the Midway Planning Board meetings, and they need our support to show up to these meetings and understand the Midway development project that's coming through the pipelines. and better educate our neighbors on the project. Really good productive meetings. They're having a special meeting on September 23rd, 3 o'clock via the Zoom conference, open to the public. And it's in regards to an action item, which is the sports arena RFP. Brookfield has been announced, Zach Adams as the RFP winner. And they're going to talk about if the CPG wishes to take action to support the selection of Brookfield for the sports arena redevelopment. So again, important meetings of support to our neighboring communities coming up on September 23rd at 3 p.m.
So Margaret, I saw the email when I got back out of the park last night, but about the Midway Planning Group meeting, I think it was yesterday, but if you can send an email close to the 23rd, a couple of days before, to everybody on the board, just to make sure that they have that information.
Yeah, they need our support, and we need to understand the project a little bit better coming from their planning board versus hearsay on the streets. So I really encourage all the planning board members to attend this and show support and also understand the project, whether you decide to vote against it or not. This is a really important, meeting for us to show some support.
Right. And I believe we have Kathy. Kathy's going to be presenting.
Yeah, Kathy and DK are online today to talk a little bit later to us about some of the updates.
Okay, perfect. Any other non-agenda public comment? Okay, I don't see any. I got 6:19, and Todd Gloria is going to be here around 6:30. I don't know. Mark, do you have time to do the first applicant item?
Action item? I think we should go for it.
Okay,
we have dead air time. So let's start off. I'd like to first say that we've had two project review meetings now, and I'm feeling they're being quite successful with our new media. And our new way of doing things. So I'm fairly happy with that, and I look forward to keep things rolling here in the fall and push through some of these projects, get them out there in front of everybody. So I am happy with that. So let's go to the first action item. This would be the Rosecrans Loft. This is project 644874. Basically, this is a neighborhood development permit to allow 13 existing apartment units to continue to exist as apartment units. We reviewed this project now 3 times in project review, twice over the last 2 months via Zoom, and we've had some very good interaction with the owners and also some of the renters that live there. We have a couple of them here I can see on our Zoom meeting that may speak as well. But it's a simple concept of allowing 13 of these residential units, apartment type units, to exist in the community as they have so for the last 45 years. So having said that, I'm gonna turn it over to Dean. Where are you at, Dean?
Here's I'm here.
Dean Wilson, he'll give us a brief overview of how we got to where we are, and then we also have a couple of the tenants that may want to speak real quick, and maybe we can get it all done here before Gloria gets on. Go ahead, Dean.
Okay. So this, we are talking about Rosecrans Lofts, and it's the building at the corner of Emerson and Rosecrans. It was built back in the 60s, and it was initially built as 5 retail units ground floor and office building behind it and above. Sometime in the mid 70s, the assessor records aren't exactly accurate. It was converted without the approval of the city to apartments. So what we're asking today is for the approval to go forward with the permits to officially change these from office to apartments. It's an unusual situation for a group such as yours, because normally people come in to change things. We're asking to keep everything the the way it's been for 45 years and let the members of the community that live there and the 13 units to remain. They asked us at the project review committee quickly to add more landscaping, to put a top on the trash enclosure, and probably most importantly, to change the sign criteria to get away from the cabinet signs that are dated and modernize the building. We've agreed to do all of these things. And I know time is short. I'm happy to do as deep a dive as you'd like, but that's the introduction to the property. And if there are some questions, maybe we can talk to them later. Amelia is here. She's a tenant there, and I'd like to turn it over to her, if that's okay.
Hi, everyone. So I've been living in the apartment complex for about 5.5 years now, and we are definitely a community. And I know from the last meeting, a few of the concerns, I think the biggest one was probably the parking. And then the second one was just the kind of overall look, which Dean addressed. And the specs look pretty incredible for what they're going to do to revamp the building. But in terms of parking, I know that so the majority of the residents actually leave for the day for work. And then when they come back, it's kind of like a shift in time. So the people who come to the offices and to the businesses that are on the ground floor use the parking during the day, and then the tenants come back at night. So there's this kind of, it's just a changing of the guard type thing. And in that vein, I think it's actually really important to have tenants in this area, just because we end up being like the night, you know, the neighborhood watch kind of by accident. A lot of the people in the building do have dogs that they go on walks with at night, and they see things. I know I've called the non-emergency police line probably every few months, just because there's someone, you know, at the Jack in the Box kind of causing a scene, or there's someone breaking bottles outside, that kind of thing. So I think that just having us there at night actually really helps the neighborhood to keep an eye on things. And then just in terms of community, it's all young professionals. A few of them actually really wanted to be here today, and I have two letters written by two separate tenants that I could read. It might take a while, and they actually say some really poignant things, but I don't know how much time we have. So that's kind of my spiel. I'd be happy to answer any questions, but I really, really do love living here. And if I didn't have this opportunity to live here, I would probably end up having to move out to Lemon Grove just to afford it, because Dean has been a fantastic landlord and does keep the rent very low. And he is really on top of things with fixing things. And then also when we need pretty much anything, he's a very humane landlord and actually the best landlord I've ever had. And I'm from New York, so that's saying something. But yeah, if you guys have any questions, you can feel free to ask.
Okay. Having said that, let's move it on to discussion. I can answer any questions. We did vote in favor of the project 4-1. The one no vote was because he didn't want to set a precedent of allowing residential units without parking, and we all agreed with that, and we felt that this project, by approving this existing project, did not set that precedent, and we would hold back that. So having said that, let's open it up.
Okay, so do we have any questions or comments? I can't really see everybody right now.
Yeah, Don has a question. Briefly, is there a significant loss of public right-of-way, or is Mark and company quite comfortable with what is the treatment being on?
Excuse me, Kevin, I think you need to mute. There we go.
You can also mute them at your...
I can't see it right now because of the screen share. I can either stop the screen share and manage the meeting, or we can continue the screen
share. Why don't we turn off the screen share so we can see better?
Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, really quickly, I was part of this meeting, Mark, your long range planning, your project review, and there were tons of different concerns. Can you brief us on what the concerns were? We had a lot of questions. We spent a lot of time on this.
Absolutely. We first started off, our first concern was, is it allowed in the zone that it's located? And yes, it's a CC zone. It's in a commercial zone down in Roseville. So mixed use is allowed. So we got over that one. The density was another issue. The current density allows 6 units, but if you put in affordable and some other bonus densities, you can get that all the way up to 12. And we're looking at 13. So we felt, well, okay, that probably is pretty close to what the intent of the zoning would allow. Parking was probably the one that, you know, we would have the most heartache with in that area. And we all kind of grappled with it for a while. There is not a lot of parking on the street around there. There's no parking associated with this office space, residential mixed use project. However, it was allowed to be built that way back in the late 70s or early 60s, mid 70s, whenever that was, when it was built. So, we didn't get a lot of pushback from the local residents about it, the lack of parking, because I think everybody's accepted the fact that, hey, it works and it is affordable because it doesn't have that parking, makes it more affordable. We looked at the trash enclosure in the right-of-way, which was kind of along Don's line. It is set out away from the face of the building, and it is located within the right-of-way, but there are very large right-of-ways there, and the building is pushed back away from the right-of-way, which gave us the opportunity to ask the applicant to add more enhancements to that right-of-way, which then they have agreed to by adding some planters to screen the trash enclosure and also to screen some of the other utilities that were out there. What else? I think that was it. Then we spent some time talking about the CPIOZ overlay zone, which is all the way up and down Rosecrans, and what can we do to make this building more in tune with that requirement. And that's when we got into the signage and said, hey, we don't like the way the current signage is. Can you actually update that signage? And the applicant agreed to that. And then also just a general building cleanup. He's come back and shown us some paint schemes that we're going to agree to paint the whole building to be more consistent and to just upgrade that corner of Roseville. And that was what we ended up being as our goal, was what can we do to make it better, knowing that it exists and we don't want to take any affordable housing out of Roseville because we think that's important down there.
All right. At hearing all those concerns, any other board questions for Mark?
I have one. Mark, I appreciate the owner landlord and the rapport that he has and the maintenance of the units, and this whole the concept behind the project is really laudable, and I'm really really down with that. With regards to the signage, there's an offer by the property owner to fix the signs. I don't want to get into a situation like we did with the billboard a couple blocks down where the offer was made, and because it wasn't a condition of approval in the approval, we could not enforce it. And so without being overly onerous, I'm wondering if you expect that an approval on this project would include that as a condition of approval so that it's enforceable should the city approve it in the way it means by which we recommend.
Yeah, Jim, we really agree with that too. And as we approved it in project review, that was one of the conditions that we did write into
Great.
Our approval, was to have that signage done. We were talking about more of the timing of it, which is more delicate, I think, than anything on when you mention the signs and when the tenants change and when new tenants come, when old tenants, you know. So, but we're getting a positive response, and I think we should at any recommendation this board makes, I think we should condition it with that. And there's also then the site upgrades and site improvements that we look
right.
at, and then also the trash enclosure to provide additional enclosure for that trash enclosure.
Thank you very much.
All be conditions to our recommendation.
Okay, so I don't want to, I know Brad has a question, and I don't want to, I want everybody to think about this project for a few minutes, and we're gonna double track. I know that Todd Gloria has a tight schedule, and he's agreed to be here and give us a legislative update. We talked about that at the beginning at 6:30, and so we're happy to have Todd here. We always like to have the, you know, the real deal. So, so Todd, you know, I've seen you around town, and so we're happy to have you here. So, why don't you give us a little legislative update and welcome to the Point Loma Planning Board.
Wonderful. Fred, thank you so much. And thank you all for giving me a few moments of your time. Fred, you're kind to call me the real deal. I think all of you know that Michaela Valk from my team is the real deal. She does a great job covering your community and keeping me posted when I'm up in Sacramento on your behalf. I wanted to be here tonight in part to give her a little time off, although of course she's still here because she's just a workaholic, but to give you the update personally. And the timing is appropriate. The legislature has adjourned session. We did that back on September the 1st. And so we are now in the phase where the bills that we've sent the governor are now on his desk for his consideration for either signature or for veto. We could be here all night if I wanted to go through the many bills that we sent him. And so what I want to be here to perhaps have a long conversation, because obviously you have other items on your agenda, is to invite you all to a virtual coffee that my office is hosting this Saturday in the morning. It'll be, of course, on Zoom, and it'll be a chance for us to go a bit deeper on some of these bills in more specifics. I would point out that after the governor's period of signing or vetoing ends on September the 30th, of course, we'll have an election on November the 3rd, and the new legislature will be seated on December the 7th. As you may know, I'm not seeking re-election to the assembly, and so your new assembly member will be sworn in at that point. Just logistically, there's always a potential of a special session being called, but I don't anticipate one. That could be a time when we would go back and handle other business that's not been done. Two things I wanna highlight for you all. You may have seen the announcement yesterday that the city of San Diego has now secured $37.7 million in state homelessness funding. These are funds that are going to be used to acquire two local motels for conversion into housing for our unsheltered population. Proud to work with Senator Atkins, our state senator for Point Loma, to try and steer these funds to San Diego. I believe the city council will be taking action shortly to accept those funds and hopefully acquire those properties, which we believe will get over 300 San Diegans permanently off the streets. I'm proud to get that state funding to make that possible. And secondly, a bill I want to draw to your attention, because it's one that Michaela, I think, has been keeping you posted on, is Assembly Bill 2731. This is a bill that I've authored to try and retain the Navy jobs that are at the Naval Warfare Systems Command down in Old Town along Pacific Highway. I think many of you are familiar with the fact that Navy would like to rebuild a new headquarters at that facility. And what we've done is work with the Navy to come up with a cooperative agreement that would allow them to build their new facility. In exchange, we would have an opportunity to build an intermodal transit center there that would bring our regional transportation system together, as well as have a link to our airport, hopefully relieving traffic on Harbor Drive. That bill is now sitting on the governor's desk. It is my hope that he will sign it. We'll certainly keep you posted on whether or not he does. But given that was a bill that's specifically relevant to the peninsula communities, I wanted to let you know its status and where it's at this point. That said, again, I would remind you that we're having that virtual coffee this Saturday at 9. Check out, many of you are on our email list, and you probably received an email about it earlier today. If not, I believe it's posted on our social media as well. I look forward to having a deeper conversation with you then. But again, Fred, thank you for this opportunity to pop into your meeting. And thank you all so much for being having the opportunity to serve as your state legislator.
And what, Todd, what time is the coffee on Saturday?
9 a.m.
9 a.m., okay. So do any board members have any questions? Corla?
Well, I understand a lot of bills that we've been worried about are dead at this point. We're all distressed by this fast-moving legislation. You know, we don't feel like we have much say in it. And it's coming down so hard and fast. The city's still working on updates to the Muni Code from the mandates that took effect in January. So we're sort of feeling behind the eight ball. I've been concerned with the 2345 and 712. I don't know if that's your area or not, but you know, I just like to say we're a little overwhelmed here with what's going on. So, and it's all housing. So we'd like to have a say as a community, like to be able to have some input on some of this stuff. So we look forward to seeing you on Saturday morning.
Wonderful. We'll talk some more then.
I would agree with Corla's statement as well. Hi, Todd. Thank you for joining us. You know, the concern is the massive developments that are here on the peninsula, along with the lack of infrastructure. And then the concern being that you're going to rip up the environment and the, you know, the building. And while it does need an update, Measure E has come out now, so that development will look much different if it is successful. And there's been little, very little percentage for affordable housing. Is there an opportunity for the city to renegotiate that and add and make a requirement for additional affordable housing for those developments? Is that, or is it final?
Mandy, I want to be a little bit judicious because I'm here as your state legislator, and it may be more appropriate for Dr. Campbell's office to maybe speak to this, but it is my understanding that any changes to the sports arena site are going to require two additional hurdles. One, of course, is the vote of the people on November the 3rd, and then additional negotiations with the city, which, as you may know, and in my side job, I'm hoping to have some influence over. And I would, speaking to you as a private citizen at this point, I would share your concern in making sure that whatever happens there has a robust component of affordable housing for our community.
Okay, thank you. And then the one concern that I have regarding NAVWAR, you know, my husband is a Navy veteran himself. So as far as traffic to and from the peninsula bases, we were on a midway call yesterday, and the new captain who took over the command, he stated that he didn't have a lot of influence with requiring other commands other than Naval Base Point Loma here to make some adjustments to, you know, the requirements for them to carpool or take alternate modes of transportation in order to meet our city's climate action plan, which you authored. And so the concern is that with NAVWAR, is there a potential for that to be some sort of site for the Navy to have parking there and have shuttling coming to and from the peninsula to help reduce the, you know, the traffic issues that we experience in the peninsula when they are coming to and from work?
That's interesting, Manny. That hasn't been a part of our conversation, but I do share your concerns about traffic. A part of our legislation would mandate significant reductions in vehicle miles traveled for that particular site. So that's a condition of the legislation. Again, the governor would have to sign it for it to be applicable. It doesn't speak to your specific issue of perhaps having a stop and ride, I think is what you're describing, of having folks who work out on Naval Base Point Loma parking at, if I understand what you're saying, at the current NAVWAR site and then being shuttled in. That's not contemplated, but recognizing that a redevelopment of that NAVWAR site is already in a congested area with other proposals pending, we want to make sure there are provisions there that really spoke to traffic mitigation and carbon reduction. And that, and then, again, is a provision in the bill.
Okay, thank you. And then one final question, I apologize, but you mentioned vehicles mile traveled. And again, with complete communities, that's kind of a state bill that's come up where we have to have a reduction or meet a standard for VMT. Mm-hmm. Now, the concern is that a correct calculation or to reference that bill offer or densification, especially with being on the coastal, on the coast as well as in these urban communities where there's a lot of traffic, vehicle miles traveled is much different than the distance it takes to go 1 mile, the amount of time you're sitting in the car as you're able to acquire that mileage. Is the city or the state accurately, pulling data to reflect what the actual VMT would be, or should it be emissions that are emitted? Should that be a better basis for their calculations?
Well, maybe just a clarifying point. Complete Communities is not a state plan. That is an initiative of the mayor's office. So that's a city effort, not a state effort. But with regard to the conversion from ADT to VMT, yes, the state has been supportive of that. And to your question about whether or not that takes in the kinds of carbon that's emitted, yeah, I think that's exactly a part of why moving to vehicles mile travel, how long is the vehicle on for? And how much carbon is emitted versus a different metric. So I think that is a part of our desire to try and address climate change specifically and broadly and vehicle emissions specifically.
Okay. Well, thank you for your questions, Todd. I appreciate your time.
Yours
Good
as
job,
well.
Mandy. I appreciate you keeping Todd honest there. Good job. Do we have any other board members with questions? I don't see any. Do we have any public members that would like to make a ask Todd a question?
Well, you got off easy.
Well, we can have a longer conversation on Saturday.
Before you leave, Todd, I want to confirm what you said. Michaela is wonderful. She's a joy to work with.
Absolutely.
So glad to have her in your office. So thank you.
I'm very grateful to have Michaela. Thank you, Fred, for saying that. And know that while my time as your legislator is coming to an end, please understand we are here for you all. I think many of you know our office has been inundated with claims for assistance with unemployment benefits. Michaela is our lead on that issue. So in addition to attending community meetings at night, she spends her whole day helping San Diegans access the benefits that they need. So just know our office is here to serve. And while we may not be in legislative session, we can still be of help. I hope you'll reach out to our office. And I think many of you have our contact information. If not, it's called Google. You can find us very easily.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you guys very much.
Okay. All right. Before we go back to the action item, I got a request while Todd was speaking for a late public comment from Corey Briggs. And I don't know, and we've already passed public comment. I don't know if the board wants to do that or should we move forward with the action item? So I thought we'd make kind of a, Don, you're our parliamentarian. What do you think, Don?
He explained that he got held up late on his other Zoom. I think as a courtesy to political candidates, it would be in order.
I agree. I second that.
Yeah, I'd very much like to hear what Corey has to say.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a consensus. So, Corey, if you're still there, why don't we have public comment for 2 minutes? So, I'm not going
to. Just don't be late ever again, Corey.
Yeah.
Especially for dinner. Hi, I'm sorry, everybody. We're in a crunch time, and so I'm Zoom, and one gets late, and everybody's affected. I apologize. Anyways, I'm Corey Briggs, and I'm running for city attorney. I want to accomplish 3 things. Number one, I want to get politics out of the office. Number two, I want to restore the city attorney's office and as much of the city as possible to full transparency. And number three, I want to bring competence and the public's confidence back to the work the city attorney's office does. With respect to community planning groups, I intend to have a staff attorney work with you full time, meaning we'll be dedicated to you for all purposes. That means you'll have them at the meetings, chair, you will have access to the attorney in between meetings. That will not only help you with administrative things, Brown Act, but we want you to know what's going on in the city, what development projects are coming up, what legislation is coming down the pike as early as possible, because the work that the community planning groups do is essentially God's work at the local level, and we need to have meaningful public input. There are efforts at the state to take over housing and eliminate community say. San Diego's a charter city, so that is something that the city government would want to protect as much as possible from Sacramento taking over and maintain your local control. We need to do things like make sure when you have mitigation recommendations and suggestions on projects, those don't just get passed on to the decision makers. City attorney, a deputy city attorney, needs to translate those into meaningful, binding, legally enforceable measures that go to the planning commission, hearing officer, city council, whoever the final decision maker is. We don't want you to be just a way station. We want you to have meaningful input on issues like infrastructure and things like that. The public deserves to know exactly where the city stands, because when we try to increase density, but we don't provide the parks, we don't provide the infrastructure and things like that, you end up with bigger problems and you feel them immediately and your neighbors feel them immediately and you have to deal with them. And it's like you trying to put the genie back in the bottle. That's not okay. So we want to address all of those things up front. And the city attorney's office can be a big help in empowering you to help us improve our communities. I don't take money from developers, from anybody doing business with the city, from lobbyists, from union leaders. I'm responsible and responsive only to the public, to the voters, and to the taxpayers. If you want to learn more, CoreyBriggs.com. And again, thank you very much for indulging my tardiness. I promise not to be late again.
Okay, Corey. I'm going to, let me just say this on behalf of the planning board. Yeah, everybody, all of our board members are, you know, it's free public service, right? Everybody dedicates their big chunk of their life to try to make a difference. So I'm going to agree with you. It's God's work. And I think our board members are very dedicated. I'm proud of them. And with that, do any board members have any questions for Corey?
I do, and it's in full disclosure, say I'm very much a supporter of Corey, and I watch very closely the things that have been going on with the city as far as the Ash Street building and some of the other things that have been happening with current attorney there. And I look very much forward to casting my vote for Corey when it comes time at election. Thank you.
Okay, any other board questions? Any public questions for Corey? All right, you're getting off easy, Corey. Thank you. I'm glad we got you.
Thanks again, everyone, for your indulgence. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Bye. All right. Well, I think that's good. I mean, I think it's good for us, and good for us to get, you know, the message for people that are involved out there to the local community. So, and Mandy in particular, good questions. Good job. All right, so back to the project. The last questions were by Jim. We're in the first project review related to the signage, and I think that Brad had a question follow-up on that. So Brad, why don't you go next, please?
Oh, it's kind of a follow-up to Jim. And Dean, you had mentioned in your initial kind of overview, did you ever talk to the tenants? Because the signage issue, Dean had initially told us, was impacted by the existing leases he has with his tenants. And we were trying to go from those can signs to blade signs that were recessed that you can see going up and down the street instead of just 90 degrees, just a little bit better look. And so Dean, do you have an opportunity to talk to any of your tenants about that change?
Yes, I did. So I have five retail tenants there. One of them is the hair salon that is a separate building and actually has pretty cool signage. I think everybody kind of agreed with that. And so we're talking about the four that have the cabinet signs. Alice's Alterations doesn't want a sign, doesn't have one now, a cabinet sign. The other three definitely would love those individual channel lit letter signs that are like across the street where it has Happy Dental. They're really modern. They look good. And they would love to have the new signs. They're not too interested in paying for them, but that's something that I think we could find a budget for. So in answer to your question, Brad, yes, they'd be all over it. They'd be very happy.
Well, Alice did have a blade sign that was existing.
That's true.
And so would the, I don't have a frame of reference for the ones across the street. How does what you're talking about differ from what is installed there at Alice's?
Oh, well, if I understand your question, so Alice doesn't have a cabinet sign that doesn't
work. No, right.
She's happy with her blade sign.
Right.
The term they used. The other tenants would love to have a perpendicular blade sign. And that's something that they could suspend from the ceiling of the overhang.
Right.
My understanding, Brad, that last week, the concern was with these really dated and frankly, ugly cabinet signs. And
right, right. Agreed. I just wanted to just be clear that everybody else was, that your other tenants, other than Alice, were willing to move towards the blade sign instead of the cabinet signs, which we found so onerous.
Because the discussion was good. That you said that you didn't have any authority over that until their lease is renewed. So that was our problem and our question with the signage.
Right, exactly. Thanks, Corey.
Understood, and I want to answer it directly. So the two on the corner, Fashion Nails and the Italian Deli, they want the new individual channel lit signs that would be on the sign band. In addition, they would then put up the blade signs as was suggested by this group. But
I don't have any idea what a channel lit sign is. And do you have a picture of that?
Well, if I can go back to share screen, I'll show you.
Yes.
I want to do that for a second.
Did it come up?
Not yet.
Okay. Oh, I have to push share, of course.
Yeah.
So if you can see my mouse, that is a cabinet sign where it says Fashion Nails. This is a cabinet sign that doesn't have the insert in it. So they were kind of a cheaper way back in the many years ago, and I think some of them are still used, where the can itself stays, and when the new tenant comes, you just have to pay for the plastic insert. So in lieu of this, this would be taken down, and they're like the individual channel letter signs they're expensive, but they really look good. It's where if you see fashion, it's spelled out with there'll be an individual F and an individual A, then an individual S, and you have to wire each one. So if it's lit at night, so there's some expense involved and they're individually crafted, but it looks much better than these old plastic signs. And it was my understanding that's what we kind of wanted to move to, in addition to having underneath the overhang in front of each store, have a small sign that's suspended, so perpendicular, so people driving on Rosecrans could see it.
You had a picture of that last at Project Review. Do you have that, Alice's picture, in this presentation?
I might. Let me look.
It's there.
I think I might. Let me see. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, that's what the board liked. That's what everybody thought we were talking about and agreed to right there, was a blade sign like that all the way across that frontage there.
Because we were thinking that facade would be clean and not have something, you know, whether it's a cabinet sign or a signage on that face. I don't know, Mark, do you have any opinion as to, I mean, what we specifically were talking about? I don't remember that.
And can we get out of this share screen so I can see if people have questions? Please?
Yes.
There it is.
Well, let's say that the city does have a city regulation for signage, which is a percentage of the overall facade. You could have X amount, 25% or some certain percentage of that being signage. So, Dean, what we were talking about was, yes, I agree with what the board members are saying, is to actually clean off everything off of the band and download everything below the awning to some degree. But again, it's, you know, the goal is to try to clean up the building and make it look more sophisticated. And we were under the feeling that's what that would do. Okay. But we can't tell you to do that because you can do whatever signs you'd like to do within the city code, you know, and you know that, and I know that.
Yep. So, all right. Margaret's been waiting patiently and she has a question. So Margaret.
No, and we have so many important things to talk about tonight. So if we can move this along pretty quickly, there's a lot of projects and then Midway wants to speak. But in this meeting, we spent a lot of time. I think one of the most important things was the character of this building. It needs major improvement and hasn't been updated truly. I mean, for a while there, no disrespect could have been before your ownership, this was like an eyesore to our community. It looks much better now, but I think the important part to take back if we're going to make any type of decision is the quality of this building. I mean, you can add more units and, you know, update leases and all that good stuff, but it still has to match the character of our community. So that
let me address that real quick.
I'm not done yet though. Hold on.
Sorry, sweetheart.
And then another thing that we discussed was that trash center on the side, and you really didn't have an answer for us at the time, which again was a really big concern to a bunch of people, was the one universal trash can on the side of the building. That's again another eyesore to the community. So you said you were going to come back with an update with that, but I didn't hear any updates or anything like that on that situation. So again, I think the most important thing is to give that building some sort of upgrade and match the rest of the updated community.
He did present that plan. We did not see that just now, but he has a painting and a landscaping plan that he presented to the committee.
All right. Well, we do have a lot on the agenda. So is somebody interested in making a motion to approve this project or not?
Well, I will make the motion that we approve the project with the conditions that the project provides affordable housing, provides signage upgrades per code, does the site improvements that we saw in the plans that Dean brought to us and presented last week in Project Review, and provides the additional screening at the existing trash enclosure, which includes the landscaping around it. And that would be a motion that I would bring forward to the board.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
I'm there. Who? I think Robert. Were you?
Don will second that motion.
Don. All right, Don, you're the second. All right. Now that we have a motion, are there any other board questions or comments?
The only comment I had was that I'd ask the board to remember that there's now 13 apartments there that are currently being rented that are providing housing in that area. The owner is doing a lot of it is a painting effort and things, but he is making an effort to go ahead and improve the look of the building. And I was really uncomfortable with not moving this. I want to move this forward just from the standpoint, I find it difficult to create a situation where 13 people may have to move to different locations. I'm not really comfortable doing that. At the same time, I know we're allowing a lot of various type of slippery slope stuff as far as we're considering the parking and stuff. You can't do anything about the parking. It is what it is. So I plan to vote for this to go forward. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Lucky. Any other board questions? Any public comment? All right. I don't see any. So why don't we go ahead and vote? I think we'll go with the raise hands to start with. So all those in favor of the project, raise your hand.
Don.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
11.
All right. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Passes. Mark, you have to
thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Yep, I'll make an email and send that out with the conditions. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you to everybody, and also all of us in the building are very appreciative. So thank you so much. And especially thank you, Lucky, for what you said.
Sure.
All right, Mark, you want to do the next project?
Yeah, we can move on to action item number 2, which should be the most straightforward project that we'll look at in a while. This is the Alcina Companion Unit. This is located at 865 Albion. This is for approval for a companion unit to basically take an existing guest quarters that's attached to the house. That's basically an attached dwelling unit to the house and change it to a companion unit. It happens to be in the coastal air overlay area, so we're required to get a coastal development permit for it currently. And we have Will Stout here. Just real quick, Will, do you have anything to add to that? Because I think this is a straightforward, how big is it, the unit that we're talking about? A 1,000 square foot companion unit, 2-bedroom?
That's correct, yes. I mean, I have a little PowerPoint if you want to see some floor plans.
Just show us that. Well, just show us the picture of it, the existing picture.
I mean,
it's there. It's fairly straightforward.
Can you guys see?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. This is my wife's parents live here. They live next door to us. Again, on kind of the corner of the wooded area. The ADU unit is the upstairs portion here. It has its own parking. And the stairs, external staircase.
All right, so we reviewed this in project review and had no exceptions to it and voted for it 5-0 and felt it was tied to the existing house very nicely. It was something that we would approve in our community.
And I'd just like to say this is one of those things that the applicant had to pay like $17,000 to change the designation of his unit, which I think is something that's ridiculous, especially in light of the housing, but it's because of that CDP. So we all like this. It's a beautiful project, a beautiful building already there. So we voted to support that.
All right, I saw Margaret's hand first and then David, then Don. Go ahead, Margaret. You're on mute.
Sorry. I don't see it being a problem to our community. It looks really nice. It's a nice project. So I make a motion.
Do we have a second? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I'll second.
And I'll write it up. Whatever's on here.
So Margaret made a motion. Robert Tripp Jackson seconded. David, you're up next for comment.
Will, what's the purpose of the, what's the reason for doing a conversion? I don't know, I just don't understand what the legal purpose is.
You know, mainly it's to you get some rental income to support the grandparents.
And right, it sounds words, like nowadays absence, you need it. You need
In the absence, in the absence of the conversion, you would not be able to rent it out as an individual unit. Is that the point?
I believe that's correct, yes.
And is this something that somebody told you you needed to do, or is this something that you just decided you wanted to do?
I think we were told we needed to do it.
Yes.
By city code compliance or by who?
No, just through the like building permitting.
Okay, I guess. Okay, thank you.
All right, Don, David, go ahead, Don. You were actually before me.
Don, you're next. Go ahead, Don.
The construction's been done quite a while ago, so I'm guessing that this is some kind of paper or regulatory move at this point. I do want to say that I'm probably 5 or 6 houses away from your place. It was done exceedingly well, and I intend to vote for this.
All right, Brad, do you have a question?
I was just a comment, and Mark can verify this, but I think that this what this process is, to answer David's question to some degree, is to formally allow for a second kitchen, formal kitchen, on the property in that particular location. Is that true, Mark and Will?
That's correct.
Yeah, also it removes that requirement that you can only rent it to somebody in your immediate family, as the guest quarters would be regulated.
So great, thanks for explaining that. That makes it much clearer, thanks.
Okay, any other board questions? Any public comment? All right, seeing none, let's go. Oh, Margaret, do you have a question?
No, we're voting.
You're ready to vote. Okay, I'm ready to vote too. All right, so all those in favor, I will count. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I don't know if there's a, do I only have 10?
I don't know.
That's what I got. I got 10. Any votes against? I don't see any votes against, so it passes. Oh, Brad, you voted against?
No.
No, you just decided your hand. Okay, 10 to nothing. All right.
Well, we lost somebody.
Yeah, I think that somebody, I'm not sure if Sarah was counted.
Yeah.
And yeah. There were no abstentions?
I can't see Sarah.
Yeah, she had her hand up.
So with that, David, my family's back with provisions, so I'm going to take off and go back to vacation. Do you mind taking over the ship?
I don't mind, but I would have liked a warning.
I gave Brad some warning at the beginning of the meeting. I'm sorry, but
I heard it at the beginning of the meeting, like maybe an hour before the meeting started.
Yeah,
He actually sent us an email.
I was hoping that if I have to bail out, Brad's always here. I know he stays until the bitter end every time.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you. I appreciate everybody. And
Have fun.
All right.
Stay up on that horse.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's move on to the next action item. Mark, right. You want to introduce this one?
Absolutely. This is action item number 3. This is 2806 Jarvis Street. This is a condominium project for 5 condominiums. There are 2-story, 2.5-story condominiums over an enclosed parking garage. This is a process 5, so it goes all the way to City Council because they've actually added the tentative map process in with it, which is the process that we never get to see, or we only get to see the tentative map process and we never get to see the development. So in this case, they are actually coming to us with 5 units that with a tentative map that is all wrapped into one. So this is the way the process is supposed to work. However, this is the oldest project that I've had in project review dating all the way back to 2014. So they've been working on this project for a very long time. When we first saw it in project review, it was 6 units. Now they've reduced it to 5 units based on all the criteria that goes into our multifamily housing projects. We're at 5 units, and we felt in project review that it really represented what that community wanted down there with the, you know, nice condominiums, nice views, and very much of an improvement to the area. So we've got Darren Braddock here that he can quickly show us maybe some quick, site plan, landscape plan, something that everybody can get a feel for where it's located, because it's in an area of our community that needs some help. So I think this is a good foot forward.
Mark, was this approved at the?
Yes.
We did approve. Review. What was the vote?
4-0.
Thank you. Yeah. Darren, do you have anything you want to say?
Thanks everybody for allowing us to come here before you. We're really excited. I took over this project as the architect of record. It's been around for a while. I've improved the project tremendously. We introduced the correct number of parking, introduced the handicap elevator. All of the units are now handicap accessible. All the units are facing the water side. We've pressed the building down below grade, thus limiting virtually just eliminating entirely, your typical noise, light pollution, things of that nature. We are now providing for parking below grade for the handicap parking stall, also guest parking. We also have a turnaround parking below grade. And so I think that we've taken a project and we've enhanced it. And based upon the latest comments from the city, we really don't have any major items out there. One of the items is really just kind of the dedication along Schaffner, but that can be worked out. We're in the process of talking to them right now. I like to share my screen a little bit just so I can show you guys the project. This is our site plan. Jarvis is located at the bottom of the page. Schaffner is. We have our entry to our
Jarvis. The new doctor.
Individual units for the parking garages. All of them will have EV. 220 volt charge for the electric vehicles. That's a requirement by the city. We have our elevator located in this area, and it's accessible from the street. It's also accessible from the parking garage. We have 2 sets of stairs that go up to the project. And all this, we really have to figure this out, because prior to this, the project had too many units. We couldn't fit the program within the local codes and regulations. And one of the things I just quickly just want to add that we're building this project by right. In other words, we're not exceeding the total height limit. We are not going over building setbacks. We are not, asking for any variances. We're very respectful to the community. We've designed this project to sort of fit very well within the existing fabric of the community. We're really happy of the project. We have our trash enclosure also located below grade as well. We have ample setbacks over here on Schaffner Street. We have a 10-foot setback. That's our new property line. And then an additional setback that goes beyond that, I can show you. I just want to kind of run through the project. So it's 5 units. We have 11 total parking stalls. These are the number of units over here. They range typically from 1600 square feet to 1200 square feet. They're all 2 bedrooms, all handicap accessible. We have the correct number of a common open space and landscape. This is a 3D model of the building and the building heights with respect to the grades, the elevations. We are not building up any elevations on our side to take advantage of any building height. We are taking our building height from the existing natural grade, which is the same on our neighbor's side as well, okay? So that's critical. So the building's not really going to be above and beyond what's approved by code. These are the floor plans. And I know we got a lot of things going on, so I just wanna skip through this. The third floor, this is the rooftop deck where each unit has a private deck above. Now, all of that is below the 30-foot height limit. So the guardrails, parapets, the stairs, the handrails, everything is below that. I think we have a very elegant building. We've pushed and pulled on the building and articulated in a very nice fashion, I would say. We're using a lot of really good materials on the exterior facade. We're using some stone, precast stone, using some smooth plaster. Our windows are metal windows. They're not vinyl. We got a really beautiful cornice, you know, wrought iron handrails throughout. We've got a really nice looking landscape plan as well that I'd like to show you. This is an overall sort of 3D view of that. We've got, I just want to briefly just open up the landscape so you guys can kind of see. We've hired a professional landscape architect, something that the project lacked previously. And I think they did a wonderful job of incorporating a landscape package that is just beautiful, but also works within the community as well. So we're really excited about this project. You know, we want to thank you for being here before you. If there's any questions, please feel free.
Anybody have any questions? See, I don't know if I can see everybody. Let me just see if I can. I got to adjust this thing here. Oops, no, that's not it.
Take it off screen share.
Yes, stop share. Okay. Are we good now?
Questions for the applicant.
So I am the architect, and the applicant is also here. His name is Mr. Safwat, and I'm not sure if he was on earlier today.
But he's on mute.
Okay.
But if he has anything he'd like to add, if not, do we have any public comment?
He asked me to just speak for him on his behalf, so.
Yeah, perfect, that's normal. There he is. Nope, that's not him, that's Matt.
That's Matt. Matt's got a question.
Matt has a question.
Yes, I have a question. I'm curious, what is the actual elevation at this site? You say you're building 4 feet below grade for parking. What's the elevation relative to sea level?
So let me double check over here. I want to give you a very accurate number. It is 4.20 feet.
Okay.
So we're not below sea level, but we're 4.20 feet. The lowest adjacent grade on this property is 7.5 feet.
Okay. So it's a little bit lower than neighboring property. Out of curiosity, you know, I assume you're designing this with longevity in mind. Have you taken a look at the city's 2019 sea level rise risk and vulnerability assessment?
So the city is in communication with our civil engineer with regards to the actual freeboard elevation, and we are in accordance with the city. We're okay. I haven't personally read anything, you know, that shows what the sea levels would be in the future. But this
in the next 30 years, it's predicted to rise 1 to 3 feet for that, you know, in terms of impacting that area. So when you're talking about like electric vehicle charging below, you know, potentially below grade, I just wondered if that had been a process that y'all had talked and thought through.
No, because I, you know, we don't foresee this being a problem in the near, you know, 30, you said 40, 50 years. I mean,
no, in 30 years.
In, Well, in 30 years, if it rises 1 feet in 30 years, so we would be at, you know, three feet, basically.
Right. That's the, like, lowest risk projection. And mm-hmm. more recently, some of the estimates have us on track for the more extreme, for the more extreme events. So that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Any more public comments? Any board comments? Corla?
Yeah, we saw this project and project review, and we're appreciative, as Mark said, of having the tentative map included in this, because usually we see these after they're built. This is my third iteration of this project that I've seen, and the last one was hideous. It was flat and hideous. So we appreciate what they've done and how this architect has worked this over. The only comment that I remember was about updating the railings, and I think the architect took that to heart. He was going to work on that. And then there was also a comment about the numbers and the address numbers and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he took that all to heart. So otherwise, we thought this was a nice project in committee.
Don, I think you had a comment.
I wanted to make a motion if it's appropriate.
Absolutely.
This is really improved over the past 6 years. I think it's going to benefit and be a model for this community. I move that it be improved.
Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Brad? Brad seconded. Any further board comment? I just wanted to echo what Don just said, that I think it's great that the applicant has come to us before building the project. Normally we get to see the things after the project's already been built, and we're sort of left with whatever we've been delivered. So thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
I do think it's going to be a nice addition. It's a great location. Looks like a very nice project. Congratulations on that. And if there isn't any more comment, let's have a vote. All in favor? 1, 2, 3. Margaret? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, that's 10. Sarah, did you vote? That's 11. Sorry, you're down in the corner there.
Yeah.
All right, so that's 11 in favor. Any opposed? Seeing none, any abstentions? Seeing none, motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck with your project.
You have a wonderful night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, moving along to the board-initiated action items. So the first one was the one that we discussed at the beginning of the meeting regarding the appointment of interim board members. As Don has correctly pointed out, the bylaws as currently written require that any time that we have more than one vacancy, it has to be filled by a public vote. We currently have two vacancies because we can't under the bylaws fill them with appointments. It's pretty clear, notwithstanding the conversation we had at the last meeting about the possibility of alternative forms of elections. We got some helpful information. Tracy, I think you sent me some things that were, I think it was you. Maybe not, you know, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't. I got it from another source. But some information about how voting is done by other groups. But the city planning office has made it very clear to us, we can't have an election. We can't have an election until the state of emergency, or whatever they're calling it now, is lifted. So we are basically stuck where we are. The alternative would be to look at an amendment to our bylaws. There have been a lot of changes. The council has adopted modifications to Council Policy 624. One of the things we could ask for is an amendment to our bylaws that would allow us to appoint two members to fill out the two vacancies that we currently have. Since we're not going to be able to fill them out with an election anytime soon, it looks like. So that'd be one of the things that we could investigate. And I'm open to suggestion as to other ways we might be able to see if we could fill out our board until we're able to have a full election. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Margaret?
I would love to kick this back to the election committee to have a meeting and really come back with a real action item on what you guys decide is the best for the community and board, with maybe have a couple different suggestions that we can vote on.
Sure, I think that's a great idea. I chair that committee as a first vice chair. Mandy, I think you're on that committee with me.
Yes.
And who else was it? Lucky, were you on that committee?
No, Robert Tripp Jackson was.
Robert, that's right. Yeah. Robert. So it's just the three of us?
Yes.
I would like to join it if you'll allow me. It's great. I mean, I don't know what the...
I don't think there's any limitation on the number of people.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. I'd like to join and help maybe come up with some ideas.
Sure.
I think I sent information, David, from CPC, because there was a group of CPC chairs that were working on this also. So some resource information and discussing with other planning boards as well.
Actually, I think the information I got was from somebody from OB. And I just can't remember who it was.
Andrea, yeah.
It was Andrea. Thank you very much. Yeah. It was. And she sent me some information. Apparently, they have elections that include elections by voting, proxy voting, things of that nature that seems to be considered to be legal or approved. But after the last meeting, Fred talked to Tony, and Tony sent a very clear message that there won't be any election anytime soon, or at least not until the current situation has resolved itself sufficiently, whatever that is.
David, I had a question. As one of the, I guess, interim or somebody that would have been up for election for the election we didn't have, how can I contribute to the election committee when I would be an up for candidate electee?
I don't know if it'd be appropriate for you to be on the election committee, or for anybody who's an incumbent who is running for re-election.
Yes.
That would probably not be appropriate. And, you know, for instance, Fred, at one time he was the first vice chair, and he declined to serve as the chair of the, he couldn't serve as election chair because he's running for re-election. I'm not running for re-election, so I can do it.
Is a non-member, then I guess forwarding possible suggestions that would be appropriate, though.
Sure, absolutely. Anybody can give us. And Margaret, you're not a candidate this time, right? You're not up. Mandy, you're not. Robert, you're not. So
no.
I think the four of us could be.
So again, you're willing to stand up the election committee. As far as the timeline when we're going to hold the election, you're saying that's still to be determined.
Correct.
I think that's interesting, especially when we're going up to the national election here on November 3rd. The other issue
have the capacity for mail voting or absentee balloting. We can only have
who
election.
Determined that? The city, or shouldn't the election committee determine that?
It's in our bylaws.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, thank you, Corla, for reaffirming that. But the other issue that I see as well is that going forward, we're going to have a compounded issue come March when we are scheduled to host our next set of elections, and then we're going to have further disqualification from whatever election. You know, if we don't have this resolved before that, we're going to have a very sticky situation, and I think we need to stand up the election committee and really come up with the solution to conduct this as safe as possible. And I would challenge the city's rebuttal or whatever their stance is that we're unable to hold this. The other concern is, again, you're saying change of the bylaws. How can we do that? We don't even have a governance subcommittee that stood up at this time. And again, like it's additional time that's delaying the process. And so I would like to see that the election committee be stood up with a plan of action to execute the election and present that to the next board meeting come October.
Margaret?
I would like to make a motion, because I think we're going to need some more time on this, David, with your committee, to really discuss thoroughly, because at our last meeting, it was told by us, by Tony Kempton, that we can come up with a way to have the election. So that was clear across the board. People are doing it, but he did have concerns because we do have a rather large number of voters. So again, I'd like to make a motion to move action item number one to the election subcommittee for review, discussion, and to bring back to the board an action plan for next meeting that we can vote on.
I'll second that motion. Well, I guess I can't do that. I can't do that.
I'll second it, David.
All right. I can't do it because I'm acting as chair.
Okay.
Just let me
Let's see, Lucky, you're next.
Yeah, I had a question in relation to kind of to Margaret's motion. I'm trying to envision how physically this could go forward, but I'm not seeing a problem with three socially distant lines going up to mark their ballots and turn their stuff in. It may be a little slower process, but what is there about voting in the parking lot at the library or whatever we have to do? I'm not seeing where we can't do that and still maintain those concerns we have to do as far as maintaining Corona safety at all. I mean, physically, I can see it in my mind's eye of this being able to work to have an on-site election.
Cameron had his hand up, David. I just want to point out, and then I have something to say, but Cameron.
Okay, Cameron. I didn't see his picture there. Cameron, you're on mute. Okay. Who else?
I'm not participating in anything. I'm not going anywhere, and I'm not going to be around people. And it's very clear at CPC, we're not the only planning board that's in this position. OB was lucky because they were able to have their election early before the shutdown. And we're not legally allowed to assemble, and we're not legally allowed to do that. They relaxed 624 to allow us to do virtual meetings. And until the state, city, county, and all the powers that be allow us and say it's okay to do that, I'm not going to bypass that or try to second guess that, because I will not participate.
Thank you for your position, Corla.
Yes, Karen? So go ahead. Let's see. Don?
Yeah. I'm at high risk for COVID and I rarely leave the house, but I believe that this could be done in the parking lot. Ballots could be submitted. You don't have to have a meeting. You aren't assembling people. You can count the ballots, and then whoever is elected can participate by Zoom. So the only activity here that might be in question is the actual submitting of the ballots. You don't have to have mail ballots. You could have it be a mass mandatory to vote. And but getting back to the question here is, we have to be prepared for an election sometime. It will be disastrous if it stalled the next March. And I think it can be done safely.
So let me, I see other hands up, and I see a Tina Maria, I see a Cameron, and I see a Margaret. So I'll get to you in just a second, but let me just make an observation. And that is, this conversation we're having right now, we can have at the election committee meeting. And what I would recommend is that the four of us who are now on the committee, Margaret and Mandy and Robert, I keep pointing at you like I'm actually being able to point at you, and you can see me pointing at you, but everybody will get a notification that we're going to have that meeting. With Corliss' help, we'll figure out how to have it on Zoom. And you won't have to, that'll be the only participation we'll ask for you, is to help us with Zoom.
Thank you.
There you go. Great. Thank you. And then we can, I think, have a more full-bodied conversation about what the options are. And Mandy, I agree with you. I think we should be aggressive about figuring out how, you know, if we have to push back against the city, we should push back. And because I agree with you, if we wait until March and not have another, can't have an election in March, and I think that's entirely possible under current circumstances without changing the rules or without, you know, coming up with a procedure, we're going to have all kinds of interim members. And frankly, I don't want to be on the board past another election. So I think we need to come up with a way of doing that. But I think the election committee meeting that we're going to have between now and our next board meeting in October is the opportunity for us to kind of vet all these different ideas. So with that said, Cameron, you had a comment. Can't hear you.
Cannot hear you.
Cameron, can't hear you.
You guys hear me now?
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. I guess my only comment was, sorry, I'm at my daughter's soccer practice, so sorry for the technical difficulties, but I just wanted to say, in accordance with the bylaws, you can only have 3 members on the election committee in addition to the chair, and it sounds like you guys already worked through that. And I agree with the statement that we should hash this out at the election committee. Thank you, and sorry for the technical difficulties on my end.
Tina Marie.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted now. So yes. I agree with Dawn, and I agree with Cam both at the same time. And I understand what Corliss is saying about, you know, we want to still be safe. We're running a government election. We're going to, you know, everybody else is doing, we're going to run a United States election. I think we can run a planning board election safely, like Dawn was suggesting, in the library or at the library, not in the library, but outside of the library. We can have, even being really safe, we can post the ballot online. People can print it if they want and use their own pen and fill it out and then drive by and put it in a sealed box. I think we can do a drive-by line. We can actually, people can walk up and be social distance 6 feet apart. Just like at right now, the library is allowing you to pick up library books being 6 feet apart with a table outside of the library. So the same thing, instead of picking up books, you can have a box. People can throw their ballot in there, my suggestion, or they can drive by and hand the ballot, showing their license, of course, to show, you know, validity that they're a resident, all that stuff. And then from there, it can be, you know, sealed and left away for 3 days till then the people who are going to count it can count it. But so I think it could work. You know, we hold it at the library anyways. It just would be social distancing and outside. And like Dawn said, it would be a slower process. And then maybe those, for instance, people who don't want to get out or don't want to, they can have a driver and they can be in the car with their mask. The person receiving it could be with a mask and gloves and show their ID through the window and receive their ballot and put it in a sealed box again. You know, they don't even have to get out of their car if they feel safe doing that. Those are some suggestions that we can do.
Hope you'll join us at the election committee meeting when we have it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And of course, those Margaret. That don't have a printer.
So just, really,
one more thing.
Hold on, I'm sorry, Margaret, she's not quite done yet.
I'm gonna be done. One more statement. If they don't have a printer, then we can have some copies that are already printed and hand them with gloves and sanitizer. Okay, I'm done.
Margaret.
Just really quickly, there's a motion on the floor and we have to move along because there's some really good, important presentations that I want to get to, and I hope that these people don't leave. So can everyone please email David, since he's the chair of the election committee, your suggestions, and he'll gather them together. I can help you, David, if you'd like. He'll gather them all together so we can have a discussion at this election committee meeting. You're all more than welcome to join, but let's move along and kind of vote on this motion so we can get to the other stuff.
Is there a second?
I think, yeah, Mandy yeah. Seconded it. And I take that as a call to the question. So I'm gonna take a vote. Anybody, all people in favor of the motion?
Email David Dick your suggestions, guys.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Did we lose Sarah? Or is she over on the other screen here? I guess we lost Sarah. So that's 9, it looks like. I accidentally counted myself last time. So so 9. Any votes opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. All right. Next item is the Mandy, you're presenting on whether to approve a letter of support regarding installation of a intersection safety measures at Froud and Voltaire.
Yes,
you're on.
Thank you, David. Again, I wanted to bring the agenda at the traffic and transportation meeting. A letter of support was approved. I've sent everyone that request. I'm going to read it out, and then we can discuss it afterwards.
Do you want to screen share it, Mandy? Are you prepared to do that?
You know, I don't have that prepared, but I can read it out loud. So it just, the recent death of a community member, Cameron Loren, in July, and 31 reported traffic incidents in the vicinity of the corner of Voltaire and Froud Street highlight the need for expedited traffic mitigations to be installed. The intersection of Voltaire and Froud, you know, I apologize. I don't know if I have the correct letter here. Yeah, you know,
so far,
I apologize.
So far, so
I printed
good.
my I printed off the wrong letter. Everyone take a look at the screen and review the letter. Thank you, whoever posted that for me. I appreciate it.
Oh, look at that. Wow. This is the one that got circulated earlier today. Or a couple days ago, I guess.
But, that's yeah, correct.
I printed yes. it out from what was circulated.
Yes, and this is a board action item. It was actually approved back in January of 2018. A letter went to the city identifying Fred and Voltaire as a great concern. I did include the enclosure in that letter as well. One of those concerns that in that letter was that Voltaire and Fred is one of the most dangerous intersections in our community. Residents attempting to cross Voltaire Street and Froude are unable to see automobiles traveling downhill on Voltaire due to the blind corner. This condition and the width of the street puts pedestrians and bicyclists and motorists attempting to cross the intersection in danger of being struck by cars. And then it asks for approval of traffic calming measures and to analyze the intersection and implement changes to improve the safety for everyone. Now, with regards to the request and making that to the city, I found out that the city has already funded and approved a flashing beacon light as well as a crosswalk to be installed already. But with discussion of the traffic and transportation, discussion of the traffic and transportation, the thought was to change the request to a stop sign and a four-legged crosswalk to be installed in lieu of that. And the reasoning.
Mandy, I'm sorry, I muted everyone. Will you unmute?
No worries, I understand why. Thank you, Corla. But the thought was to request that as opposed to the flashing beacon, because the beacon would be pedestrian-led, and it does not provide a consistent mitigation. The second issue that was discussed was the descent down to Voltaire as you're going into a lot of the vehicles tend to pick up traction and speed.
And so I'll put them each on a little space on.
Thank you.
Sorry, I don't know where that's coming from.
No worries. Yeah. Thank
no,
you.
I'll make sure that my bed is clear. So
again, do you need to remove someone from the meeting? You're not
I can't getting... figure out who it is.
What's everybody, happening?
I don't know. Everybody's muted. No, that's why I can't figure out where it's coming from.
What is it you're hearing?
I hear people talk in the background.
Oh, maybe it's...
Okay. Well, either going forward, one of the issues basically was that they would like to have the crosswalk and the stop sign because it would be more consistent. And it would also help assist the pedestrians. You know, our community does have a lot of cyclists as well as people who walk. And to navigate across that street, they would have to go about a block away, a street away to Ebers and Voltaire. That would be their other choice. But it would allow a throughput across that area. The other issue that came up was the dangerous area because there was a recent hit and run accident there of a skateboarder. And so that was of concern that a community member has died. And being that it had already been identified as an issue, I would like to see the city expedite those mitigations. There was added a request for traffic calming measures for this. The design of that intersection, it gets a little wider as if you're looking at it. So the thought was to provide traffic calming measures or possibly even flex posts to address those concerns. And then in the future, again, they are quite costly, but consider it for a possible traffic circle in the future. So as I reached out to Gary, being that they had already been funded and installed, he had requested that we it has to be completed through the council member. And the thought was that we would address that letter to the council member after we received the board approval. So I'd like to open up for any discussion regarding this topic.
Anybody from the public like to speak first?
It's so scary.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to read it.
Oh, it's so good.
I can't see everybody. So if somebody wants to Jeff, you want to speak? Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to speak about this. I'm probably one of the most knowledgeable people about that intersection. I've lived in my house on Bellina Street, which is about 3 or 4 blocks away, for 33 years. That's 12,000 days as a calculation. I use the route from Voltaire to Froud to get into Ocean Beach because Froud Street has no stop signs until you get to Newport. I have made this route well over 1,000 times. I have never once seen an incident there. I've never once seen any kind of an accident. 2 years ago, this board characterized this as one of the most dangerous intersections in our community. I asked for substantiation of that back then and got absolutely nothing. There's nothing to substantiate that this intersection is dangerous, much less one of the most dangerous intersections in the city. Now we have a letter, and frankly, this is a fiction, and you folks, I'd hate to see the board compound its earlier error by approving this. That accident that happened was a young man skateboarding down the center of Voltaire at night, at 10:30 at night, and he was hit from behind by a car, probably because he wasn't lighted. It had absolutely nothing to do with the intersection of Froud and Voltaire. But that's the first fiction. The second one is just 31 incidents. I asked Ms. Havlick and everybody for a copy of these 31 incidents. They sent me a list of 71 incidents that encompass the entire length of Voltaire from the beach all the way to the high school. And the only way you could identify where they occurred was by the block number. The block number for this location they're talking about had 3 incidents, none of which had anything to do with pedestrians or bicycles. The majority of what goes on that street that causes problems is from Ebers toward the beach, because it's mostly commercial and it's full of all kinds of traffic. And from Catalina to the east, or Ebers to the west and Catalina to the east, which is also commercial and has a high traffic volume. From Catalina to Voltaire is mostly residential. You already have a crosswalk and a traffic light 1 block away. It's absolute stupidity to put another one 1 block away and spend that money. My alternative suggestion, and I think Brad said something about this at the last meeting, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have a crossing, but I would suggest it be somewhere up by Bellina Street or Seaside, further up the hill, where it's about halfway between the access at Ebers and the access at Catalina. But this traffic subcommittee letter is an absolute farce because there is absolutely nothing to substantiate it, and dragging in this accident of this young guy to try and scare people into thinking that Froud and Voltaire need some kind of traffic monitoring or calming is absolutely ridiculous. I'm telling you, I have driven this many, many, many times. That's a wide street there. There is really no problem, and nobody has substantiated that there is. So I'm urging the board to correct its earlier mistake and not make another one by approving this letter, which basically is a lie.
Hmm. Well, Mr. Jeff Page, thank you for your inputs. I do want to counter that with a couple items here. You are aware, you are a prior board member, and you do take great limits to educate people on the bylaws in your OB Bragg platform. And so you're aware of when those traffic and transportation meetings are. And so I would have loved to have had your, you know, positions. I mean, you've emailed me, I provided you that information. You want to get me on a number of 31. But I'm sorry, I misspoke. I got that information from another chair, Tracy. And, you know, I further clarified that with providing you with my information as well as where I got that information. You then proceeded to undermine the board and override our efforts by contacting the city and all of those in addition, without participating in the process. So it's safe to understand, to assume that you would understand what the process is. And there's nothing nefarious here going. I do appreciate your inputs, but the way you present your opinions, it makes it very difficult at times to be in your presence. But well, I will
let me remind you of one thing. I'm not a board member. I'm a member of the public, so I can act any way I want to.
So, oh, you're not here as a reporter for the OB Rag to do your...
I said I am not a board member, so I'm not beholden to your board member rules. Your process,
no, I said that you
process does not matter right now.
Let's try to stick to the topic at hand as opposed to getting personal about it, all right?
And my counter to you, Mr. Page, would be that your recommendations, while they can be considered, the issue with those two proposals is that if you're coming down Voltaire towards Ocean Beach, you have the streets to your right. You'll have Soto, Seaside, Bolinas, as you stated. But on the left, those properties, their garages are right there parallel on the street. And that's how they enter and exit their property. And so the concern is that an installation at your proposed location may not be the best site because it will create an issue for those homeowners as they're entering their garage and prior. So I do want to clarify that regardless of what we do, the city is intending to install a flashing beacon. Regardless of that, the beacon will be installed. But if we can approve that letter and make these requests for a stop sign, the traffic and the transportation subcommittee reviewed this in detail. We've had discussions with other chairs because it is a shared intersection with Ocean Beach Planning Board. And they are on board to support this letter should it be approved by our board. So I would ask, regardless of your opinion of whether it's dangerous or not, I believe we've been provided enough information. There has been a recent death. I don't think that this would be a bad request to make upon the city to put some mitigation in there. If it does not work, Jeff, I feel free to contact me and we can study that and have it removed if it does create issues. But that is
Mandy, if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of maybe get some of the other commentary.
Sure, go ahead, Mr. Dick.
Thank
go
you. Ahead. So I think Tina Marie, looked like you had your hand up.
Yes, I just had a quick comment. I don't see why we're pushing or against safety. You know, what's wrong with adding one more safety element in our community? That's just my point.
Great. What's, thank you, Cameron.
What's the purpose to fight about that?
I'm sorry. Cameron.
I'm done.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Mandy,
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Correct me if I'm wrong. No worries. Mandy, please correct me if I'm wrong, but from Gary Pence from the city traffic and transportation, the senior engineer, they did do a traffic count, and based on the traffic count, a traffic beacon with a crosswalk was warranted in accordance with the highway manual and the California regulatory manual that they had to determine this. The stop sign would be an upgrade to that. So that's why the request is going through, because the city is going to put in a traffic beacon anyway based on the amount of traffic that's already there. And the stop sign would be an added mitigation to try to help it make the transit safer.
Great. Thanks, Cameron. Matt, you had a question or a comment.
Yeah, my comment or question rather was for Jeff, who said he's driven thousands of times through there. I'm curious how many times you've walked or biked or skateboarded through that intersection.
I haven't biked or skateboarded through it, and there's no record of any accidents with bikers or skateboarders at that intersection.
Okay, Margaret.
With no
thank
further
you, Matt.
Ado, safety comes first in our community, so I would like to make a motion to send this letter off on behalf of the board to improve that intersection and make it safer for bikers, skateboarders, or anyone else that comes into that intersection.
Anybody have a second to that motion? Don? Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Let me see now. Are there any other comments from the public before we go to board comments?
Yep, me.
Yeah. Who's that? Jeff? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. I would urge the board to rescind its earlier letter. You characterize it as one of the most dangerous intersections in our community with absolutely no support whatsoever. And now you're again referring to 31 incidents of which you are unable to produce any evidence whatsoever. So for the board to put this forward, it would be an absolute folly. They never should have put the first one forward. And I went through this with Brad and Margaret, and nobody had anything to give me to say this is why it's considered to be so dangerous. And now we have this letter with these two things in it that are absolutely not factual, and the first one's not, the accident is not even appropriate. I think the board would be making a big mistake to go through with this.
Great, thank you, Jeff. Are any other non-board comments? Otherwise, we're gonna close the public comment.
Sir, I got one.
Cameron,
last one.
Okay, one last one. You've already had a chance, but go ahead.
I just want to rebuttal on the 31 instances. You got to remember that was only generated in the last 2 to 3 years. That doesn't go over the whole, you know, anything over 2 years in the last 2 years. And so there's 71 traffic incidences when you get that from the city. By the way, you can download that from the city for anywhere. So in the last 2 to 3 years, there's been 71 instances on the whole corridor. There's been 31 within a few blocks of that.
Jeff.
All right, fair enough.
Thank you. Yeah. We got to try to run this with some level of organization, and everybody gets a chance to speak, but they get a chance to speak once. It's not a debate, other than among the board members. So now we're going to go to board comment. Did any of the board members? We have a motion and a second. Any of the board members have a comment on this matter? Margaret, I think you've had your hand up a couple of times. You're still on mute, Margaret.
I do see Jeff's point, and again, Jeff, like a lot of this stuff was collected through social media and all that good stuff, as I have mentioned to you before. You do live in the area, so we have to respect that as well. You do, you know, see what goes through. But at the end of the day, when you've got a death, and even though some think it's not related to this incident, the masses of the community is what we have to listen to at the end of the day. And it's been an overwhelming response to improve that. And according to Cameron, it sounds like there's already gonna be some implementation there. So are you cool with what they're currently presenting, Jeff? Why not improve it a little bit more?
No, I'm not. I think you should rescind the earlier request. It wasn't based on anything. You asked the question, I answered it.
Thank you. Okay, Margaret, are you finished? Thank you. Carla.
Yeah, I just have a question. If the city has already reviewed this intersection and has decided or ruled that it deserves a flashing beacon, why didn't they come up with a stop sign then? And is this redundant if they've already approved and funded a flashing beacon?
Mandy, do you have an answer to that? I'm just curious for the same thing.
Repeat your question, Coralie. I didn't quite.
If the city's already reviewed this intersection and has ruled that it gets a flashing beacon and has funded it, why didn't they come up with a stop sign here? Why are we now asking for a stop sign when the city's already made a ruling on what should go there? Is this redundant, or I'm just not clear?
Yeah, the city didn't give me any information about the stop sign, but again, it did get a stop sign later, but originally, I think it was just the flashing beacon that was originally going to be installed. But again, it comes back to the original issue regarding consistency and having a consistent mitigation rather than a pedestrian-led one. Another concern that came up, Nicole Burr just mentioned the flashing beacon all along Point Loma Avenue and Sunset Cliffs. What tends to happen there is there will be a car that comes to a stop. And then what happens is the car behind them will do the right and kind of go to the right around them and potentially putting the pedestrian in a dangerous situation. So that was of concern. And then again, just being more consistent and bringing those cars to a stop would help slow and bring, you know, help that acceleration down Voltaire into OB.
Thank you. Any of the board members have a comment they'd like to make?
Jeff. Bringing cars to a stop is part of the problem that I have with the letter. So I don't think that I'm going to be able to support a four-way stop at the intersection. A pedestrian beacon, a crossing beacon, such as exists in front of the high school, makes perfect sense to me. I think that that has worked very successfully. I've not been side-passed on either of the two beacon locations, but I understand that it happens. I also understand people blow stop signs if they're on an arterial street and they don't see any need to stop because there's no side interference at all. So, and to the extent that you have a stop sign there, and when people are blowing it, you're giving people a lot more a lot more confidence than the device, the stop sign itself delivers. So I won't support the motion because of the four-way stop. I'm happy to see the letter move forward on behalf of the community if that's the majority's opinion.
Thank you, Jim.
Before I get to you, Margaret, anybody else on the board have anything else they want to say? Brad.
Well, Jeff, apologies if you think that the process wasn't clear. I was the one that initiated the initial request in terms of adding it to our list because of my personal experience there as a bike rider and also my wife. That was a big driver on the flashing beacon. We just asked the city to analyze the intersection. Wow. We don't have to do any analysis. In my conversations with the traffic engineer, we don't even have to do this thing to the board to some degree. We can just do get it done. And they go in to get it done. And as soon as they get that request, they're going to analyze the intersection. So in this intersection analysis there, they found that there was a number of issues. One of the things about traffic accidents is that they, I'm not sure how much emphasis they put on them because so many incidents are not reported. So that kind of didn't seem to weigh that much on the traffic engineer. Your comment about going down to Evers, it was more than 600 feet. So when you're talking about somebody who is physically challenged, trying to cross there, either with cane or in a wheelchair, up Voltaire towards Seaside, it's 40 feet wide. But when you get at that intersection, it's 63 feet wide and it bends. So to be able to safely look as a pedestrian or a bike rider, as you're moving out into the street to look for traffic, to be able to make your move, you're 15 feet off of the curb because there's also an offset between the two sides of Froude there. The west side of the street is about 6 feet behind the other, and they've even angled the limit line. So when you put yourself at risk because now you're out in the street, and if you want to look all the way up the street, you have to basically be standing on the double yellow line to be able to see up to the intersection by your house. And so the thought is with cars coming down the hill, because another one of the things that they determined were there were less than 30 people a day that they had in their counts for pedestrian crossings. They found that the traffic was going something like 38 miles an hour. So over the speed limit, and the traffic count was such. So when they did the analysis, this is what they came up with. They said, okay, flashing beacon, continental crosswalk. The thing about the flashing beacon is that it is an on-demand yield. And so to put in a four-way stop there, you have, I don't know what the traffic volume is on Voltaire, but it's got to be pretty significant at that location. So Jim's point is well taken in that you're talking about pollution, you know, when you're starting and stopping all these cars. And if they're only having 30 people a day, it probably would go up with the flashing beacon. It just seems like maybe, especially when you're talking about trying to slow down traffic. So I guess I'm just kind of asking maybe because also from Catalina to Evers, this is the last street and you're going to put a stop there right before the stoplight at Evers. It seemed as though if you're going to try to slow things down, do it farther up towards your house. And I don't, you know, possibly having one of those radar signs, speed signs up there that would, you know, kind of gives driver feedback. We're all pretty familiar with them. Having one of those up by Seaside, because when people come across around the corner past your house and going down the hill, they start to accelerate. by the time they get down to Froud, they're coasting, getting ready to go up to the light. But you want to slow them down farther up the hill, and that's actually where, by my understanding, is that the accident with this poor skateboarder occurred. So having the stop all the way down the hill is sort of, you know, that doesn't do anything to counter the conditions that would have been present that led to this, unfortunately, to this young man's death. So I would think that leave the flashing beacon. It's only used occasionally. Put the speed radar sign farther up the street, and that'll be sort of an interim measure. I think it's commendable everybody's trying to do this. I think it would be great to get a roundabout in, but we know that, you know, $1 million or whatever. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of give you an overview of how it transpired. And, you know, again, we go through a lengthy process, get it done. So many things, I had so many calls come in, people do get it done, and they've got, I can think of 10 stop signs, yield signs. I mean, I drove down Lotus the other day, and there's a speed radar sign there near Hyacinth. We have all sorts of things that are being done in the community we don't have anything to do with. So I don't think there was any nefarious intent in ignoring your concerns in the past. It's just that, you know, this would have been an easier process.
No, they didn't.
Just
what's that?
They didn't. Done my phone. Anyway, my two cents. Thanks for being
on the website.
Great. Thanks, Brad. All right. So unless there's other board comment, Jeff, we're done with public comment. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Well, can I address a new comment?
No, I'm sorry. No. No, well, we've got to move this along. Margaret?
I was just going to echo Brad. Brad, thank you. I agree. I attend, Mandy, I know you do, and a bunch of other people, a lot of the other community meetings for traffic, and this section always comes up. And I think this is an improvement. It's not like it's going back, you know, a step back. So we have a motion, David, so.
Yeah, we have a motion. We have a second. I think it's time to vote. I think we've heard a lot about it. So I'm going to ask for a vote. All in favor of the motion, which I believe is to approve the letter as drafted and was as presented on the screen. So all those in favor of sending that letter as drafted, please signify by raising your hand. I see 1, 2, 3, 4. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that was 5 opposed, 4 in favor. Any abstentions? So based on a 4-5 vote, the motion fails.
Okay. So, and I can reach out. We can take this back to committee to review again. But, you know, again, I disagree with the outcome. Thank you for your time.
All right. And Mandy, you're up again.
Yes, I am.
The next item. Which is a letter for support for traffic mitigation measures along Sunset Cliffs Boulevard.
Yes, I do want to bring this up. Mark, would you mind posting that letter for me on the screen share like you had, if possible? If not, I can read it out loud. But again, the peninsula, a big discussion that has been around the community is regarding the issues being experienced by the park at Sunset.
Mark, that's the other letter. That's the other letter.
And the issue with the park has been the lack of enforcement, as well as there's been a lot of traffic issues and safety issues and problems with the neighborhood. And so we've had this discussion. We looked at it and discussed. We identified some immediate traffic mitigations to install in that neighborhood. We currently are going to continue to look at the Sunset Cliffs neighborhood on a holistic level. And actually at the next traffic and transportation meeting on October, sorry, not the traffic and transportation. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked. Sorry, I have a few things. But basically, these would help bring relief to the neighborhood with some of the traffic safety issues that they've been experiencing in that that neighborhood. But this would just be an immediate mitigation. There's additional work to be done. We're going to be continuing to look at Sunset Cliffs neighborhood on a holistic level to provide additional support for that community in regards to traffic safety. So I'd like to open it up for discussion at this time.
Everybody has seen the letter. We'll go to first to public comment. Mark, if you could take the letter down and close out the screen share, thank you. Any public comment on this item? Don't see anybody with their hand up who is at least on video. If anybody who's not on video wants to speak, they'll have to go on live, show their face and their hand. All right, seeing no public comment, does anybody on the board have a comment on this item? Brad, you were first. Go for it.
Yeah, I know that there's a pretty terrible situation down there. I avoid it as much as I can. So Mandy, I'm just curious. So the neighbors that are going to be along Devonshire and Osprey and all that, they're all in on all these stop signs?
Well, we did have our traffic and transportation meeting. These were brought to the attention of our committee. There was a meeting with the Sunset Cliffs neighborhood with Barbara Bree. I believe she was in attendance. And the issue of concern was, again, the lack of enforcement and then the traffic safety issues that they're experiencing in the community. And so I helped look at that area, and along with the help of Nicole Burgess, she's also a committee member, we were able to see, well, what could we do long-term? One of the recommendations is a stop sign to be installed at Osprey and Sunset Cliffs. Lots of speeding, people wanting to look at the sunset, and they're not, it would create a break for that area, and it's right before a parking lot, so it would help, you know, it'd slow the traffic, and then they could utilize the parking lot. That was recommended by a few community members by the name of Eric Graves, another individual by the name of Michael Morgan. He also made those recommendations, but these are just a few mitigations that would be a quick mitigation to provide relief to that. Again, this is not the end of the story or all that we're going to provide. We're going to continue to look at that neighborhood and the traffic impacts and provide support for that community.
Yeah, I know that there's a lot of people that, you know, they'll be driving their cars and pedestrians running across streets and a lot of incidents. Now, to some degree, are all these stop signs being put in as a deterrent to make it less attractive to go to Sunset Cliffs and use it? I mean, it might
no, be it's,
that way.
No, it's not to keep people out of the neighborhood. It's really to stop the people that are visiting the neighborhood from speeding in the back, especially along Devonshire. Sarah, I don't know if she's still on the call. She testified to this as well, that she's been witness to this and that these proposed mitigations, she was a part of that vote and she was for these proposed mitigations. So I don't live in Sunset Cliffs, so I wouldn't be able to say that I can give a visual account for that, but she was very strongly worded in support of that through the traffic and transportation. But it's not being used to keep people out. It's really to provide relief to the current community there, as well as a public safety issue. You know, we do have a lot of people visiting that park and, you know, to provide the appropriate traffic safety to keep all of our citizens safe is the thought as well.
Right, right.
Robert,
now,
sorry, go ahead, Brad.
I just had one more. So I don't know how many hundreds of cars there are, but if they have all these stop signs, now all of a sudden, instead of the traffic flowing, you're going to have all these cars starting to back up and on some of these secondary streets. And I'm just wondering what kind of feedback we might, or pushback we might get with idling cars sitting out at, you know, at sunset. I mean, I think this is all good. I know it's a huge issue. I just, you know, when you do something like this, this magnitude, I mean, that's a lot of stop signs that I guess you guys are already expecting there to be some kind of reaction. And I guess I've seen it. I mean, they had a stop sign on Owen Street down on Rosecrans, and that got cut down after a week because there was such opposition to it. So, okay, thank you. I appreciate you what you're doing and all the time you took to answer my questions.
Robert.
Yeah, right. You're dating us on the Owen and Rosecrans one. That was a long time ago.
Oh, I was going to talk about the Jarvis property being where Westy's Lumber used to be. How's that for one?
Right. But, you know, I concur because we have the four-way stop at Point Loma Avenue and Sunset Cliffs, which seems to be doing okay. But then you would have another full set of stops at Osprey, which is, what, four or five blocks down. So, I mean, we don't want to, you know, cause a huge jam and a backup. And as Brad says, you know, people are zigzagging around the neighborhood to get away. So they'll go up the Froud and just head straight down and, you know, head down the back way down to, and drop in to Ladera. And well, let's go ahead, Mandy.
Ladera is has quite a bit of issues, not just traffic. There's a criminal component there as well, and a lack of enforcement as well. That's an issue for the community that needs to be addressed. But I agree with you. We have people coming, visiting. They're zigzagging through the community. You know, the thought is if the stop signs don't work and they're creating a compounding issue of, you know, backups in the community, I think we can relook at that and, you know, ask the city to remove them if that's, you know, if they're not warranted. I can definitely see that. But again, I'm also a member of the Sunset Cliffs Natural Park Council, and I sit on that board with those community members who live in that neighborhood, and they do speak of these issues, and they are very concerned about the traffic in their neighborhood. And so I think we need to provide some sort form of support to that community. They're asking, and they're asking for support. So I'd like to see a motion on the floor to approve this letter, please.
Yeah, I agree. It gets worse and worse and worse over the last 5 years, definitely. I don't argue with that. Okay, thank you.
Mandy, are you making a motion?
I don't know. Can I make a motion if I'm the presenting?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd like to put a motion out to approve the letter as is, please.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All right. Lucky you seconded it. Is there any further comment from the board? I'll just say one thing. I can't vote, but I'll just say one thing, which is, and I'm not a traffic engineer by any stretch of the imagination, but I've always sort of heard that stop signs are actually a bad way to control speed. They're a good way to stop people at intersections where people are crossing, but in terms of trying to control speed, they're not particularly effective. And that in terms of, I don't know who made the observation about flow, creating a bunch of stop signs creates a bunch of stoppage. And in addition to the environmental issues associated with that, it also causes traffic to actually come to a standstill and be sort of, you know, herky jerky along the way. One of the thoughts I had was rather than send a letter that requests specific things, it might make sense to send a letter requesting the city to work with our board to study what can be done in that area to deal with the issues that the community out there actually is dealing with. Because I know, I've been out there, I've seen it, what it's like on sunset on a nice day. The place is a zoo. Mm-hmm. And, but I mean, I'm not sure that's something we should or can or should necessarily try to, we should prevent it from being a zoo, but we shouldn't necessarily try to prevent people from getting out to the beach and seeing the sunset and doing all the things that people out there want to do. But I do think we should work with the community. Mandy, I think you're absolutely right. The community needs the support from an organization like ours to help them figure out how to deal with the problem. I'm just not sure that being this specific with these locations and these four stop signs is necessarily the way to do it. But that's just my, you know, that's kind of my view on it.
And again, you know, this is just a quick relief. Again, that is the intent of the traffic and myself, I'm speaking as the chair of the Traffic and Transportation Subcommittee. That is the intent, to continue to look at this, bring the city in to see what options that they can provide. Because, you know, the one thing we don't want to do is kick the can down the street or around the corner, you know, with regard to the traffic issues. And we definitely don't want to push them out into the OB planning boundary either. And so we're wanting to continue to look at these this neighborhood and provide some sort of appropriate mitigations. Again, this would be immediate relief. And again, with the stop signs, if they don't work, I would be more than willing to have requests that the city remove them. But I think let's try something as opposed to nothing at all.
Jim, you have a comment.
Thank you. Yes, you'd asked for comments earlier, and I was slow on the gun. I get concerned when we sense that every problem of speed or traffic can be solved by stopping people with stop signs when people get to the point where they don't stop at stop signs. There's one right at the corner of my property, and it was installed, and it's more dangerous. It's the most dangerous part of a trip somebody leaving my house has to make to get through there, not knowing whether or not the cars are going to stop. That said, of all of the ones here, the one at the foot of Osprey doesn't actually lead to a pedestrian path. It gets over to the pedestrian path on the other side. And I've only lived here since 1989, so I still don't know how to pronounce the word. Is it Freudy? Frode? Whatever the name of that street is. It's the next one north. There you are coming out, and there's actually a parking lot kind of across the street there. I would see a stop sign somewhere along Sunset Crest to allow the people with their cocktails headed towards the sunset to be able to successfully get across the street at some place along there. Somewhere along Sunset Cliffs, for the purpose of pedestrian protection, makes some sense to me. But trying to slow and stop cars in the neighborhood, I just have a general bias against that. Maybe
sure. Well, if you note on the letter, there is crosswalk stop signs and crosswalks requesting to be for that location. So it's not just a stop sign, it's also a crosswalk. So that would answer, you know, that concern of yours. But I definitely would be open to having additional areas of crossing. We do have quite an influx of visitors.
I don't see the stop sign on the letter. I don't see the stop sign I don't see Freud on there. I see.
It's not Freud, it's Osprey Street that we are talking about. That. You're making a recommendation for Froud and Sunset Cliffs?
Instead, because it actually is leading to a parking lot. It's actually leading to a place where people cross over to where there's actually, a terrace extension beyond Sunset Cliffs where people actually will go out and stand there. And so it's a place that they would look for, is all I'm saying. A further review of it to improve its capability for crosswalking to places where people actually congregate along the cliffs and have more room to do so may make some sense. And I don't know, again, it would be a matter of subject to future.
Would you like to add maybe the Froud and Sunset Cliffs as an alternate, either or Osprey?
No, because I really don't know what I'm talking about.
Say that again?
Literally, I'm not going to recommend to the city of San Diego to put a stop sign someplace if I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay, so are you... All right, so your questions for your comments then?
I'm sorry?
I've answered your comments or your questions?
Yeah, you answered it, yeah. But I mean, none of... Yeah.
Orla, you're next.
I would support a letter asking the city to review that whole stretch for stop signs and crosswalks and traffic calming, but I don't want to support requesting numerous specific stop signs. I think that's up for traffic engineers and those people to do that. So I would be willing to support a general review.
Well, you know, again, the traffic studies and the review of that, again, that's where we're going with this. We're not done with this, Corla. Again, that's part of the process. And again, I don't believe the city, even if we do make a request, that the city may not be willing or may not even complete the request. As we saw in the previous letter, You guys made that request back in January 2018, and it still has yet to be done or completed. So I think, again, those are great concerns, but I think that's something that we can table as the ongoing issues, you know, to request from the city for that area.
David, I call for the question. Can we go to vote? Because it's time is 8:30, and we have a lot more to cover.
Yeah, okay, I agree with you. We'll take a vote. All in favor of the letter as presented, please indicate by raising your hand. I see 1, 2, 3 in favor. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Let me count that again. Keep your hands up for opposed, please. One, Don, are you opposed or in favor? Okay, I'm not sure what that meant, but Corley, you're in favor, you're opposed. Mark is opposed. So 1, 2, 3, 4
I don't think you got my vote for in favor. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, let's start over again, okay? Yeah, all in favor of the motion, please raise your hands.
Favor the motion, yes.
1, 2, 3, 4 Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Motion fails.
That's fine. And I will just want to make a comment to you, the ones that are opposing. That's fine that you're opposing, but the issue that I have is that we have these traffic and transportation, and we've spent a substantial amount of time in this meeting discussing what the city will and won't do. And that would be helpful if you would participate in the process again. Those are on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m.
I agree.
All right, Mandy, you're up again. You have one more item here. It is the
awesome.
Tabled request this, from Gary Pence.
Sure. This is one that actually got sent back from the Transportation Committee. And the issue is a request from the city to get the concurrence of the board for the installation of a crosswalk and flashing beacon at Plumosa Park. So along Chatsworth in the vicinity of Plumosa Park. And so we did not vote to approve this. We actually tabled this item. The design of it has the curb and on both sides of the sidewalk, but in the center of the sidewalk, there's actually a curb there, an oval type curb. I did have these posted to the meeting as well. Sorry, the website as well. But I did, we weren't able to bring it to a vote. We wanted to table it because there was concerns about the neighbors being able to make a left turn. The design of the crosswalk that they're wanting to recommend, the curb on both sides kind of comes out into the lane. And I do believe it's under the guise of traffic calming efforts, but I did reach out to Gary regarding those requests, and I do want to read his response to the group. So, all right. So some of the proposals was the subcommittee tabled the letter due to concerns that the proposed traffic mitigations would narrow the road too much. And then they had requested that the sidewalk be raised and to add track lighting to that. And so I provided it to Gary Pence, and his response was, for Chatsworth and Plumosa, we will take into consideration the narrowness of the lanes and modify if necessary. We cannot make it a raised crosswalk because the location is an emergency response route for the fire department, and the volume is too high on Chatsworth. We also no longer use the track lighting, which are called in pavement flashers along the crosswalk. They become much too hard to maintain and become a liability for the city. However, there will be the pedestrian activated flashing beacons at the crosswalk. And so if you're looking at the map, again, these plans were posted to the website. on the north side of Chatsworth and Plumosa, you can see that there's a little loop there. Further inland, you can see Hyacinth is there. If you're coming up to Chatsworth towards that area, like you're heading towards the high school, on the right-hand turn, there's a right-hand turn along Hyacinth. And there's like a little roundabout, and it goes, there's a street that goes around Plumosa Park. And then there's they're wanting to install the crosswalk there along Plumosa and Chatsworth. The concern again was the access, you know, to be the ability to safely make that left turn. So again, we tabled this. This is a community-led effort. Brad would know a little bit more about this, but it has not come to the board yet. But they do, they are asking for concurrence before they approve and install these mitigations. So I'd like to open it up to the board for comment.
I think it's public first.
Right? Let's start with the public. Anybody from the public have a comment on this?
I saw Liz Gerard here. She was the one that initiated it. Was I mistaken?
If she was, she's not here now.
Yeah.
All right. So seeing no comment from the public, I'll go to board comment. First of all, do we have a motion? And Mandy, before we do that, let me just ask you, I'm a little confused myself as to what it is we're being asked to or being suggested that we do. Is this a motion, if there is a motion, the draft letter, is it to support the installation of a flashing beacon, pedestrian initiated flashing beacon at the intersection of Plumosa Drive and Chatsworth?
That is correct.
Okay, great. I just point out there is a flashing beacon just a little bit further up. I'm not saying that it has anything related to it, but it basically serves as the crosswalk for Loma Portal Elementary. And I've lived in this neighborhood my entire life. Drive that. If Jeff has driven down Voltaire 1,000 times, I've driven Chatsworth 1,000,000 times. And the flashing beacon at Browning is very effective. It used to be, they used to have crossing guards. They used to be one of them who would actually, you know, be there and help kids get across the street before at the end of the day. But the flashing beacon there, I think, is very effective. And I do think they have the lights in the street, which I'm sorry to hear they're not continuing to do, but I guess I understand that. But thank you for that clarification. So we're proposing something similar to that at Plumosa and Chatsworth. Okay, Matt, you're a member of the public, so I'll give you a chance to talk here. And Tina Marie, I see you have it. And then we'll move on to board comment.
Thank you. Also speaking as a community member of the Transportation and Traffic Subcommittee, basically I thought our plan was to table this letter and invite Gary to join us at the next TTSC meeting in October so that he could address some of these concerns and we could basically have a back and forth in real time with him.
Yes, and he has, unfortunately, he was not able to attend tonight's meeting to discuss this. I did let him know that we did push back, but from the direction of the chair, he said that it should go to the board for consideration. I agree with you, Matt. I'd like to table this to look at it further, but again, the city's making a request and it, you know, pushing it out to the board is what Fred directed me to do.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Matt. Tina Marie, do you still have a comment?
I do. I just want to make a comment. Yes, I'm fine with tabling it, but I just want to let you know, as opposed to like somebody else said that they drive a street, you know, Voltaire 1,000,000 times. I do too. I drive Chatsworth 1,000,000 times a day. I have 3 high schoolers that go to school there. Before the light was put on Browning Street, they were in elementary school previous to that light being installed. So I agree that, and then I also currently always drive Hyacinth to get to my own house. And I agreed to make a left turn is super incredibly necessary. And at the same time, like it needs to be guarded. It needs to have a beacon there, needs to have something there. So people know when school is happening, kids are walking across the street right there. Parents are not looking and people are not looking when they make the right hand turn there, let alone trying to make a left hand turn going off of Hyacinth onto Chatsworth. it's worth. Yeah. So I think it is important what Manny's saying. And I know you want to table it and you want me to shut mute talk quickly, but that was my point.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So Margaret and Corla, I see that you have, and Lucky, I see you have things you want to say. May I just suggest that if we, first of all, we don't have a motion. And if the idea is to table this so that the Transportation Committee can take it up at their next meeting, I would encourage that that's what we do right now, is table it and move on to the rest of the agenda, because we do have other things to talk about tonight. And I keep getting a high sign, dinner's ready. But if we could just table it, if that's what the committee wants to do, my recommendation would be to table it and move on.
I would agree with that.
If anybody feels compelled to say something right now about this item, and Margaret, you do, so go ahead.
I was gonna make the motion to table it. However, I do wanna make it specifically clear. There's been three important, very thoroughly discussed action items that came from the Traffic and Transportation Committee that improves our safety in our community. And we preach that enough. That is very important. And the certain individuals voted it down. The same individuals voted both action items down. That's a big problem. So I just want to make that clear for the record, because this is being recorded. Pay attention to who's voting for what. I will make a motion to go ahead and table.
There's no motion needed. We don't need to take
a motion.
You
do need a motion. You do need a motion to table an action item per bylaws and Robert's rules. You need a motion to table that action item.
I'll second your motion.
Fine.
You have to have that. It's an action item.
Fine. You've got a motion. You got a second. Anybody want to talk about tabling it? Lucky, your comment is going to be about tabling it?
My comment is about Margaret's comment about I voted against the last item. And the reason I voted against that last item was because Jeff and Brad changed my mind. I originally voted for it in traffic, which I'm a member of, or I was at the meeting rather. And Jeff's comments and Brad changed my opinion on that. And so I changed my vote, and that would have been a swing vote that made a difference on that. And I exercised my right to change my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Brad, go ahead.
Just as an overview, Mandy had mentioned, this instance here at Plomosa Park was initiated by Elizabeth Gerard, a resident. And the whole idea is to be able to connect Loma Portal with Plomosa Park. And that curve, everybody knows, traffic speeds up. It's a dangerous blind situation. She's been working really hard for years. I've had discussions with her in the past about having approved but unfunded projects. She's been, well, Josh has probably had a contact with her. She initiated this during the last council situation.
Why didn't you bring it to the committee then before? This is something with the city. Why was it not brought to the board then?
Was when Ed Harris was interim council.
It was situation. She just bypassed us like a lot of these things do. It's kind of hard to, and then it's, I think, number two in line behind Froud to get implemented. I mean, they've got the engineering drawings. I think I saw them someplace, but anyway, she's been working really hard to get this done and she seems to have some community support. So I just wanted to kind of give an overview that, I mean, I would be in support of, I would vote yes on allowing this to happen because there is an issue there. We got speed issues there. It's kind of dangerous around that curb. So that said.
Okay, right now we have a motion on the table that's been seconded for to table this item. Until the next meeting?
Comment, if I may, and that is that I live on Lotus Drive. So when we talk about how many times people have made turns into that right street, I have some authority. I can talk about that area too. So we'll get to that when we finally cover it.
So are you on the Transportation Committee, Lucky?
Am I on the
Transportation? Are you on that committee?
No, I'm not on.
The best thing to be to go to their meeting when they talk this, bring this up at the next time they meet. When's your next meeting?
Yeah, he did, David. It's the others that have not attended.
Oh, okay.
Ricky is not a committee member, but he did attend that meeting.
I'm okay, sorry, David. I know we want to move on, but I don't want to sit here and be attacked because I do a lot of stuff and I can't attend all of these meetings, you guys. I have a lot of stuff going on. And I also, I'm a little bit hot because I don't appreciate being attacked for the way I vote. I'm listening to everything. I'm reading everything. And I'm paying attention to everything everybody has said. And I'm entitled to vote the way that I see fit. And Margaret, I don't like it. So you guys need to just calm down and chill out because you didn't get your way. I'm sorry, but now I'm done now and let's move on.
Orla, you're saying it plural. No one else told you anything about your vote other than okay. Margaret.
All right, let's do move on.
You're just inviting people to participate in the meetings to help streamline this process so we're not here till God knows what time. That's the only comment. Yeah. Thank you, Orla.
Great, thank you very much. And all I can tell you is that I now understand why Fred agreed to be chair, because he doesn't have to vote. And I'm enjoying that part of this meeting. So we have a motion on the table to table this, or motion on the floor rather, to table this item until the next meeting. We have
I'll
a second.
Second it.
It's already been seconded. I think Mandy seconded it. No, Margaret made the motion. So we have a motion to table it. All in favor of the motion, please signify by raising your hands. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That would be unanimous. Thank you very much. All right. Moving on to the next item, which is apologize to Kathy Kenton. Is she still with us?
I'm here.
Awesome. Thank you. Apologies to you for keeping you so long. Thank you for your patience. You have volunteered to give us a presentation about the Yes on E campaign, I understand. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
If you could introduce yourself and then tell us what you want to tell us.
Sure. Thank you very much. Corla, do I have permission to share my screen?
Yes, please. It should be green for you.
Okay. Let's go here.
It's a nice presentation.
Okay, can everyone see my screen?
Yes, I can.
Okay, yes. Great. Thank you and good evening, PCPB. Thank you for having us tonight. My name is Kathy Kenton. I grew up in Point Loma, and my family has owned property and operated businesses in the Midway area for nearly 60 years. In addition to serving as the chair of the Midway Community Planning Group, I'm one of the two co-chairs of the Yes on E campaign that seeks to remove the 30-foot coastal height limit from the Midway Community Planning Area. This ballot measure is the culmination of 11 years of effort that went into our community plan update, which was approved by the City Council in September of 2018, and years of coordination between the Midway Pacific Highway Community Planning Group and Council Member Campbell's office to place this measure on the ballot. The Midway Planning Area is a relatively small area consisting of a total of only 1,324 acres. Nearly 400 of those acres are the Marine Corps Recruit Depot, and 88 acres are owned by the city, of which 48 of those acres are currently going through the long-term RFP process at the Sports Arena site. The remaining city-owned 40 acres are currently home to low-income senior living apartments and commercial lease space. As mentioned, the Midway Community Plan update went through a rigorous and robust process and was approved by the Planning Commission and the City Council in 2018. The land use goals within the plan include creating districts and villages with a compatible mix of uses, including commercial and residential zoning, active transportation, and a healthy environment for a variety of housing types for all ages, incomes, and social groups. From this map, you can see these goals outlined. The proposed green park space, residential village areas, as well as improved transportation infrastructure. Some of the additional benefits in the community plan include, Some of the additional benefits in the community plan include improving Sports Arena Boulevard as the gateway to the community with a multi-use urban path and linear parks. pedestrian and bicycle connections to the San Diego River Park and the coastal zone, outdoor recreation and eating locations, and a new or renovated sports arena entertainment complex. Additionally, the council unanimously adopted a new development impact fee study for Midway in 2019, which includes prioritizing approximately 16 acres of new park space, improved mobility, and a much needed new fire station. The Midway community has been asking for this change for several years. We need to build up, not out, to achieve the desired green space. This community desperately needs improvement. We know this. Measure E only removes the 30-foot height limit in the Midway District and leaves in place protection for the coastal communities. The plan update process also included a rezoning of the entire community. The underlying zoning remains in place and includes height limits ranging from 30 to 100 feet. There will be no additional increase in dwelling units above what is specified in the community plan resulting from the passage of Measure E. Measure E is the catalyst that brings to life a new vision for Midway by attracting much needed investment. We all agreed that the spirit of the 30-foot height limit was to protect view corridors along the coast. Midway has no coastal views, we are not a coastal community, and we have no beach access. Midway residents, businesses, and property owners have been asking for this change for many years, as we feel the overlay zone lines that were drawn arbitrarily in 1972 have left the Midway community behind. Removing the height limit is a simple but elegant action that will provide the catalyst that brings to life the vision of our community plan while maintaining protection for our coastal communities. And finally, this slide contains the official measure language. I want to briefly conclude by saying when this measure is approved by a simple majority of voters, it will be a benefit for our entire city. Not only will it create jobs, it will also increase opportunities to improve needed transportation networks, create a source of funding for failing infrastructure, and most importantly, assist in closing the gap on needed housing. I will turn the presentation back over to the chair, and I'm happy to take questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. That was very informative and very succinct. Thank you for that. And we could start with any questions that we may have from the non-board members of the community for Kathy. All right, seeing none and our population shrinking by the minute, do we have any board members who would like to ask a question or make a comment? See, Robert, you had your hand up first. Please go ahead.
Right, just Kathy, as a point of reference, is the sports arena approximately about 70 feet high?
The current sports arena height is 77 feet.
77, okay.
Is that it, Robert?
That's it.
All right, I think Mandy, you had the hand up?
Yes, I just wanted to again state that I am against lifting the 30-foot rule on Midway. I think it is the start of a slippery slope that will erode the protections of the 30-foot rule that has protected the coastal region from overdevelopment. Additionally, by lifting the 30-foot height restriction, you would be restricting access to the beach by allowing unchecked development west of I-5 at a crucial intersection hub where the I-8 and the I-5 intersect. By adding over 20,000 residents to an area that we are already having really heavy traffic problems to and from the coastal region, this development will further keep, delay, and discourage Californians from access to the coastal areas. And finally, you know, the city has not given any guarantees that much needed infrastructure upgrades that will be required for any development will be completed before or after the completion of the development. And so, again, that's more of a statement. I've had several opportunities to ask questions. My only concern is with the individual who actually got awarded the RFP. He seems to intentionally try to minimize the amount of public comment and input when he does make those presentations. So I do look forward to seeing the group that he's creating for community inputs. And I want to let you all know that the Traffic and Transportation Subcommittee will also be hosting a meeting on October 13th at 6 p.m. And the intent of this is to allow our peninsula residents to come in and provide inputs on the traffic, the possible traffic impacts of this development to and from our community. And that will be coming up for next month. So I do want to have everyone mark it on their calendars and let your friends know. Thank you for your time, Kathy.
David, excuse me.
Yeah, thank you, Carla. Thank you.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah, thanks. I understand Tom Mullaney, you'd like to speak?
Yes. I was invited, I thought, to deliver a presentation on a parallel with Kathy Kenton's. So I'd like
I didn't see that on our agenda, but
yes, it is.
It is on the agenda.
Where?
It's right underneath. If you're looking at an old agenda that was changed on, this was changed on Monday.
This is the one I printed off that was the most recent one I had. Okay,
yeah,
my apologies.
Yeah.
My apologies. Okay, Tom, you're up. How long do you need?
About 5 minutes.
Perfect. Thank you.
And I have to say this group is very diligent. You have some difficult traffic problems. Is this measure really about achieving the vision of the community plan? What if instead it's about developers grabbing something they've wanted for 48 years, which is free rein to develop the coastal communities as they wish? What if it really is an opportunity to blow open the 30-foot height limit for all six beach communities? What if it's about making a few property owners rich by upzoning? What if perhaps Mayor Faulkner is trying to reward some of his developer friends before he leaves office? And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the evidence for this. What if it's an incentive for the city to get control of federal land like NAVWAR and MCRD by lifting their height limits also? So maybe just think about this is to blow open the 30-foot height limit in all six communities, and this is the first step. Now, here's a piece of evidence for that. Some of the people listening to the meeting, like Kevin Hastings, already have in their possession a plan from the city to put floor area ratios of 8.0 in the coastal communities. Well, I think you know, since you're all planners, a floor area ratio of 8, if you covered half of the land, you've got a 16-story buildings. That's what the city has proposed as part of complete communities. So the city's already proposing high densities for the coast. Now, let's go back for a minute to 1972. There was a group of citizens who saw San Diego becoming like Miami Beach. We had the Islandia, Capri by the Sea, Catamaran. The high-rise buildings were starting. They sponsored Proposition D, and it passed. So for 48 years, the six coastal communities have had the 30-foot height limit, and I think it served us well. Now, in 2018, the Midway community did a plan update. I've read the plan update. You know something? Their vision doesn't say anything about 50, 80, 100 feet or unlimited heights. There's nothing about unlimited heights in the community plan. In fact, the whole community plan is based on 30 feet. So I don't get this part about achieving the vision of the community plan. If you've been following the news, the developer Brookfield had already created an alternative proposal within 30 feet. So if Proposition E is defeated in November, the developer can do a project within 30 feet, and that will match the community plan. There's nothing essential about blowing open the height limit at this time. Now, this isn't just about the beach. When the Proposition D was planned, the leaders wanted to ensure access to the beaches. Now, look at the traffic now on Sports Arena, Midway, Rosecrans, Interstate 8. I think we all know that about 2% of the trips in San Diego are taken on mass transit. What does that mean? It means when you add 20,000 people to a community, 98% of them are likely to be in automobiles. even if you double the transit use, you've still got 96% of the people driving their cars. So one of the board members made a comment, no, there's no infrastructure plan that really would deal with that. Federal land. So you think maybe in the future, the city would like to get control of federal lands and allow high rises there. That's not in the future. That's right now. So there's already a plan to take over Navor for city use and Sand Dig use. We believe the next step is to take over MCRD. I want everyone to understand that the height limit right now applies to the entire Midway community, and the Midway community includes Navor and the post office and MCRD. So if the citizens approve Proposition E, the height limit will be gone from the city land, private land, and federal land. So there is an alternative. I work with a group that's going to oppose Measure E. We're proposing a river trail park, a beautiful river joining with San Diego Harbor, where you can ride a paddleboard, a kayak, you can have picnics, a large park. And why? The city already owns 122 acres of land in the Midway community. They don't have to buy it. I've been listening to the city for 15 years say there's no place for parks. Well, here's 122 acres for a beautiful riverside park. So I would urge everyone to oppose Proposition E, maintain the height limit. And believe me, after Midway, they're going to come for Peninsula and Ocean Beach. The slippery slope's already starting. You can already see the city planning high densities for the coast. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Tom. Okay, now, this is not going to be a debate on Prop E tonight. We don't have that on the agenda, and we don't have time for it. So I'm not going to take any comment from the board or from the public. These are information items. We've gotten the information that's been given to us. Unless there are questions specifically to the presenters, please no speeches and please no positions or endorsements or oppositions. If you have a question that you need information that we can entertain, that's the reason these folks are here. And thank you very much for staying so late, but we cannot have a debate about Prop or Measure E. So Cameron, you had your hand up first. If you have a question, please ask it.
I do, I have two actually. The first question I have is, has Sandag taken into account the traffic implications of putting 20,000 people on the I-5, I-8 intersection? I know that they don't take military traffic into account right now, and I was just wondering, I haven't found anything on a traffic study yet. Have they even started to look at the traffic implications of plunking 20,000 people there? And then, and that's for Kathy. And then my other question is, are you worried about gentrification of this neighborhood of an affordable area that's within easy access of the beach? Thank you and have a good day.
So,
Kathy, do you want to take that first one?
I'd be happy to. I can't speak for Sandag. Let me turn my... I can't speak for Sandag and what information they have taken into account or not. We did have a presentation yesterday at the Midway Planning Board meeting, talking about some of the plans they have, and they indicate they are very early in the process. My only comment is that, you know, the 20,000 additional residents, that's already in the plan that is approved, so that is not changing as a result of Measure E. That was approved in the community plan. And I'm sorry, I didn't completely hear your second question. I don't know if it was for me or for someone else.
No, it was for you. I'm just worried about gentrifying a neighborhood. When you take an old Red Lines map and you line it up perfectly, it's over a poor neighborhood that we're going to take affordable housing from local residents and give it to a developer to do what they want. I'm just concerned that, you know, having only 10% of affordable housing required, you're going to gentrify this neighborhood. Is there any way you can increase it to 20 or 30% to ensure a much needed need in this community is addressed?
So the community plan calls for moderate, middle income and affordable income housing. It is not calling for single family residents. It is not calling for luxury, expensive high-end, and all of that, I mean, I don't control that, obviously, but all of that is going to be taken up and be considered as part, certainly the sports arena project is one project. That's only one part of this community. It's only right now 48 acres. There are many other acres there where there can be private development, where that development can include and will include affordable housing, because that's what the community has said it wants.
Thank you, Kathy. If I could just make one more observation, please. Mm-hmm. This is a discussion about Measure E. This is not a discussion about the Midway community plan. So if we could limit the questions to things having to do specifically with Measure E, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Corla.
Yeah, one comment, one question. There is also a Vote No on E Facebook page. And then my question is for Tom and Save Our Access. I read in the OB Rag that there was a lawsuit filed. Is that correct?
Yes, there is. The lawsuit is because the city did no analysis whatsoever on removing the height limit. They didn't do analysis on how it would affect sunlight, air flows, air quality, anything. What they did is they said we could use the environmental analysis back from 2018. That didn't take into account any changes in the height limit. So, the city hasn't done the homework that they should do. You know, we're not trying to obstruct anything. We want the city to do the studies that the state law requires them to do.
Thank you, Tom. All right, anybody else? Questions regarding Prop E, Mark?
Measure E,
sorry. Mark, you're muted, Mark.
There you go. Yeah, I have two questions. I have one for Kathy and one for Tom. Hey, Kathy, when you guys did the original the sports arena Midway. When you guys did the Midway community plan, you did not take into consideration anything in that plan about raising the height limit. Is that correct? I heard that the other day.
So the Midway community plan update that was approved in 2018 has no reference to anything other than the existing 30-foot height limit. And the reason that it did, we had a number of discussions and we had conversations. I mean, the city was you know, running the show, but we felt that we had to put together a plan based on what we had available to us at the time that the plan was approved. We couldn't write a plan about what if, and if this happened, and if that happened, what could we do? It was brought up at Planning Commission when we were at Planning Commission with the plan update. Why is this not in there? Why is this not being considered? The planning commissioners were the ones that began the conversation with us and said, why aren't you going higher? Why isn't Midway able to go higher? So I'm sorry, I'm getting off onto the community plan and I've been asked not.
Thank you, thank you.
Let me just say, my second question is in terms of the height,
it is considered in the plan because everything has been rezoned with zones that include heights of 30 to 100 feet. That's in the plan.
Yes.
Thank you.
And then the second question is back to Tom talking about the heights on the government land. So this would be the federally owned land and the state owned land. From my understanding is they don't have to abide by the 30-foot height limit anyway. So some of the things that you were saying about, you know, the city trying to get that land, well, it already has an underlying height limit of unlimited, is from what I understand. Would you agree with that, Tom?
I would agree with that in part that the city zoning does not apply to federal land while the federal government owns it. But as soon as they turn that over to private owners or the city in a base closure, Proposition D would apply. So think about how clever that is. Take away the height limit now, and when that land changes hands, the height limit doesn't apply.
Thank you, Tom.
Yes.
Are you done, Mark? Is that an answer to your question?
That's it.
All right. Any other questions specifically on Measure E? Margaret.
Kathy, I don't know if you can answer this or not, but a big concern for the community is the skyscraper reference that the mayor briefly talked about in that area. I mean, when is enough enough as far as the height limit goes to the Midway Planning Board? Can you touch on that a little bit? Or is it just like the removal of the height limit gives them any acceptable reason to build as high as they can?
So I don't know what you're referring to with the mayor, but I will tell you that it is not the intention of the Midway Community Planning Group or the community to build as high as anyone feels like or multi-story. Skyscraper. We have a plan, which is the governing document. It specifically talks about moderate and middle income and affordable housing. It talks about, it has zoning that is specifically does not exceed and in most portions of the community doesn't even reach 100 feet. So we've got those protections in place, and it is not the intention of the community to be another downtown, and we've made that very clear.
Thank you. Lucky.
Yeah, I would like to know, why is it that only in the Midway area do you have to go over 30 feet to make a profit as a developer? I mean, they do it all over this town. They do it at 30 feet and under. They did it all through North Park when I lived there. So now we come to Midway, and all of a sudden they need to have 60, 70 feet so they can make a better pencil out deal. That doesn't make any sense to me there. I don't see, while if this area is so well located and everything, why they can afford to build 30-foot places in North Park and make enough money, but to come to the Midway area and they need 90 feet. Why is that?
Lucky, you have perfected the art of making a comment in a form of a question.
Thank you, sir.
Kathy, go ahead.
I can't. I'm not going to even try to answer that.
I can comment on that. Developers don't need to go over 30 feet to make a profit. And one of the things that's very seldom talked about, whenever the city allows some kind of zoning relaxation or waivers, they simply increase the value of land. Now, I'm not surprised that there aren't landowners, property owners in Midway who want to make more money. In the end, the developer doesn't actually get rich, because as soon as there's the height limit taken off there, the landowner drives a harder bargain on the price. That seems obvious. That's not just my opinion. I've talked to the economist at UCSD. They said that's clear. The man's exact words were, land is worth the value you can put it to. So when you upzone or take off a height limit, you simply make the landowners richer. And for a while, you aid the developers only if they own the land.
All right. Thank you very much.
I just have one more question, and it's very quick. Kathy, you know, you talk about the middle to, you know, it's not affordable housing, but it's in a range that would be for middle-class families. Has the developer, the city, given you any idea about what the market rate will be for those units and what the size of those units?
Mandy, I'm sorry. I really am sorry, but that is not about Prop E or Measure E. That's about the community plan or about the Brookfield development. We can get into that at another meeting, but right now it's about Measure E. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude, but we do need to move on.
Yeah, I'm just saying, again, they keep talking about the benefits. I wanted them to share what those benefits were, if they were aware of that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Kathy and Tom, thank you very much for taking your time. Thank you for your patience, for staying with us this long. Very much appreciated. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more to talk about between now and November 3rd. Good luck to both of you. And we'll see how it goes. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to our government, very patient government representatives and reports. Fred is a lot more adept at this because he deals with our government folks regularly. Josh is the one that I deal with most often. So Josh, you get to go first.
Oh, thanks, David. I appreciate it. And I want to give a shout out to my other community planning group members who are here as well. That's great to see you all. I want to just give a brief update, and I'll happily take questions. The council member is on the Budget and Government Efficiency Committee and received an update on how the budget is doing. you probably have seen, we are currently about $300 million in lost revenue to the general fund for the city. So just continue to expect a strain on services. We're going to do the best we can, but I wanted to make sure folks had that number. We're continuing to monitor it as best we can, but we're not going up as quickly as I think we had hoped. So we're going to keep continuing to track that as much as possible. In good news, the City Council did pass an extension on the outdoor dining, outdoor churches, outdoor gyms, use of the city public right-of-way for an extension of 10 months. I think it was 10 months and 15 days, actually. So you'll continue to see those updates continue to come in, and folks are still continuing to use that space as regulations exist. I do want to make a brief comment because I know it's important. It's been something our office has been tracking, and that is the Midway RFP. I just want to comment specifically on the timeline to clarify for folks. So the mayor announced the winning bid, Brookfield Development. And I also want to just say that exclusive negotiations will begin with the Brookfield Development property and ASM Global. Once those negotiations are completed, middle of next year, we expect, that will come to council again for approval. So I just want to say again that there's a lot of opportunities for us to continue to move forward for public input, and happy to take any questions.
Carla, sorry about that. You still picking up the sound from my background? I'm sorry, I've got people
in
the house.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So. I figured out where it's coming from, and you got your earphones in. I don't think you can hear it, so I
can't hear it.
Yeah,
so just if it gets annoying, just mute me.
I just did, yeah.
But don't mute me if I'm annoying, just if they're annoying.
Oh, okay.
okay, so thanks, Josh. Anybody have any questions for Josh? Wow, very good. All right, you're getting off easy too. All the politicians are getting off easy tonight. All right, Josh, thanks very much. Do we have any representatives from any of the state government representatives? Well,
Todd was here already, and Muska Lake from the Navy had to leave, and she's asking for the recording later on.
Okay.
And okay. I don't think there's anyone else here.
And I think somebody told us Officer Suella would not be joining us tonight, and he's
no,
not.
No, he's not in. Yeah.
Anybody this is Muska. I'm sorry. I am here.
Oh, there she is. She
yes,
came
sorry.
Back.
I had to log back in a couple of times. For some reason, Zoom kept kicking me out. Didn't necessarily have an update. I'm just attending the meeting in case there are any specific questions for Naval Base Point Loma, and I'm here to answer those. But other than that, I don't have any specific updates. I would love to share our NAVOR ODC revitalization website with the group, so I will leave that at the chat room. Thank you.
Super, great. Thank you very much for sticking with us and coming back in and getting bumped out again.
Thank you.
All right, so I guess that gets us to our committee reports and any other parliamentary matters. One thing I will, there's a PLA mention here that reminded me earlier on when I said that as a first vice chair, I didn't have anything to report. In Fred's absence, I'll be participating in the PLOB Leaders Forum tomorrow in his absence. I participated in it last month. It's very interesting. It's nothing that we haven't already talked, or the things that are discussed there aren't things that we haven't already discussed. And I didn't think there was anything that was worthy of reporting, because I think we're all up to speed on all the stuff that was discussed there. But if anything comes up tomorrow morning, I'll get an email to everybody to report on that. So any of the subcommittee reports, let's start. Let's see. How about our favorite transportation and traffic? Do you have a report from your committee? Other than what we've already discussed tonight?
Yeah, again, just the next traffic meeting will be on October 13th at 6 p.m. And then we do also have a parks committee meeting. I am on that committee as well as Don, he's a committee member, and Margaret. So we will be having our first parks meeting on October 2nd at October 1st at 6 p.m. And that will be online, pre-registration is required. And it will be an opportunity for us to have the city representative, we're currently seeing which city representative can come to provide information about the park master plan and the new point system that they have implemented for the parks, as well as there will be a letter of support that will be generated. I am a member of the Sunset Cliffs Natural Park Council, and there has been several issues within their park, lack of enforcement, pollution, it is an environmental issue and a public safety issue. So we will be putting up a letter of support as an action item for review. It will basically mirror the Sunset Cliffs Natural Park Council, a letter that they sent to the city back in July. And it will hope, it's in hopes that the city will expedite their request and address the concerns that they have regarding the lack of enforcement and the environmental issues, along with many other dangerous issues that they're experiencing within the park. So again, that will be on October 1st at 6 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
Great, thanks. That killed two birds with one stone. Do we have a long-range planning committee right now? And if we do, who chairs it? Margaret, do you have a report? Have you had a meeting?
We did, but we already spoke about it at the last meeting, so I don't have anything new to report. I do want to solicit any input from the community and the board for anything new. I will have a meeting next week for anything new that's in the community that's, you know, something that we can work on for the future or anything that's got to be planned out and added to the agenda. So there'll be some action items hopefully for the next meeting, but stay tuned. Really quickly, I have a question for you, David. Did you mention something about a PLA update?
No, I've said that there is a PLA, meaning Point Loma Association.
Oh, okay, because I wanted to just input there really quickly that the PLA is running two campaigns right now, and I don't know if you're going to talk about this, Robert Jackson, but it's really important for the community to get involved in the I Heart PL campaign, where you can nominate people from the community and businesses to give them a shout out, and they get a really cool hat and all that stuff. But it's just to support our local businesses in our own community to show some love during this pandemic, which is really cool. And then also their Anchor Light program, they're still soliciting and trying to get some donations from the community to make that really beautiful Anchor Light project come to life. So there's all that information on the PLA website, which I think is really cool and wanted to share with you real quick. That's it.
All right,
great. Thank you very much for that, because I'm going to have to sign off, but great meeting.
All right, Robert, thank you. Okay. Have a good evening. Let's see, Environmental Committee. Do we have any sort of a report from the Environmental Committee? Mandy, I think you would be the person.
Yeah, myself and Eva are the co-chairs. Right. Unfortunately, we will not be having a meeting next week. Typically, that's our interval, but we are an ad hoc. So just with the current time of year, lots going on, and online schooling and homeschooling your kids is quite epic. So say your prayers for all the parents out there trying to support the learning environment for their kids at home. But we do want to meet up shortly to discuss, you know, eventually standing up the ad hoc as a permanent committee. That's something we'll have to work out through governance and the bylaws, obviously. But one of the issues is the tree planting initiative that's being brought by the city. It's a Kate Sessions commitment. This is something that I've been working on with Ann Fagg. She is she's a mayoral appointee, but she works for the San Diego Urban Forestry Department. And along with the Climate Action Plan goals, as we can all see, we're on the front lines of environmental issues here on the West Coast. The thought is to have a campaign to encourage private owners and businesses to purchase trees at a great rate, a bundle of trees, typically 10 trees. They're estimating that the cost to install and the actual tree, as well as the installation of the tree and the watering hookups, would be about $200 to $250 per tree. And again, that comes with like a support from the city, as well as Master Gardeners and the San Diego Urban Forestry Department. So we will be discussing that in the Environmental Committee when we do have a meeting to present and hopefully have them come to the main board to present and tell everyone the benefits of trees and how they improve our environment and why they're good for us. So I hope I can get your vote for that. Thank you.
Great, thank you very much. Let's see here. Am I missing a committee? Hopefully not. Okay. Do we have any liaisons? I guess I'm the liaison to Liberty Station. I don't have anything to report other than Ron Slane continues to beat the drum on North Chapel, and I think is pretty successful so far, and has his own drum that he's beating about his tenancy down at the Arts and Cultural District. But I don't think there's really much else to report. There's a lot going on at Liberty Station, new restaurants, reopenings, closings. They're moving forward on their performing arts a building in the old PX building there across from North Chapel. So there's a lot going on down there, but that's probably the long and the short of it. Corla, do you have anything from CPC?
No, the meeting is Tuesday, and there will be things to bring back after that. Some of the stuff they're going to talk about, I just received the agenda. We already made decisions on at last month's meeting, so we'll see what comes of that. I do, while I have the floor, I'm going to be out of town and in Dawn's situation with limited internet access at our next meeting. And so I might be able to join the meeting, depends if I have phone service or not, but I'm hoping to call on someone in our board, Margaret or Mandy, who has a paid Zoom account to host the meeting. Sure. And help me out with that. So, yeah. And if I can join, I will. If not, yeah. So, okay.
Perfect. No problem. I can help you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay. So our last item, I can't imagine anybody has any, but it's PCBP member comments. I have one, actually. Oh, Brad has one. You go ahead, Brad.
I just want to thank you for stepping in into Fred's shoes and doing such a good job.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
So the only comment I have is a comment that sort of stems from our last meeting, where I awarded DK the best background, and he has changed his background, and it still wins the best background.
Thank you. So, I think I was at my kitchen table. This is the bedroom. So you've made it to the.
And I have moved. I have moved three times since this meeting started in order to be able to get away from the background noise. So I felt like I gave everybody a little tour of some of the parts of my house. But anyway.
Hey, really quickly, David, I represent Midway, and they had more stuff going on there. And if you may, DK, there was that really intense, heated conversation about the Sandag deal that could impact all the communities. I think this is really important for that deal. Mandy, you were all over that as well. And it's something that's coming down the pipelines that Kathy was really passionate about, and the entire Midway Planning Board was like really, really concerned about that project. Can you elaborate for this group real quick? Agenda item. Sorry, guys, this is important.
No, happy to do so. Like I said, I appreciate you all giving us the opportunity to be good neighbors. So
please.
Yesterday we had our Midway community. And so I'll just take a step back. Sorry, for those of you who don't know me, my name is DK. I'm the vice chair of the Midway Community Planning Group. So I like to come and join in as best I can. We had our monthly meeting yesterday, and we had presentations, yes, from the Brookfield folks, but also from the new Navy captain and some folks representing Sandag in their entire revitalization efforts. And a large part of really what I think was communicated very clearly to particularly the Sandag group is that for a very, very long time, and I've lived here for 6 years, I've been on the board for 2 years. You know, Kathy, I think she had a run. She's got an early morning tomorrow. But, you know, Kathy's lived and breathed Midway for, you know, close to 60 years now. And there are other members of my board who are more senior than I that, along with myself, all, like I said, very clearly communicated that we have historically been underrepresented in some of these rooms where decisions feel like they're being made about us, but not with us. You know, the whole Navy, Sandag, NAVWAR, redevelopment is it's a project that is within our planning area, and yet I think Kurt, who's our secretary, made a comment that we read about that in the Union Tribune as far as the announcement of that action taking place. And that's something that for a variety of reasons, but I think most of them are quite obvious, that's something that frankly just offends us. You know, to launch and to announce, you know, the intention for such a massive effort without even doing us the courtesy of giving us a heads up or including us or at least saying, hey, you know, what do you think? That is a big part of the frustration and the passion that I think came out very clearly to the Sandag people, because at this point now, finally, that they've gone through, you know, the airport advisory committee, they've, you know, they've tendered legislation at the state level. There's a lot of things that have been happening that we've been tracking very closely that we're very well aware of. But like I said, all of that is sort of done at arm's length. And so now at this point, with everything that they've sort of set up, they feel as though it's the appropriate time to involve the community. And, you know, we are the official Midway Community Planning Group. We're authorized and recognized by the city of San Diego, but for one reason or another, and for a variety of different reasons, really, we don't really have the ability to force ourselves into this room. So we kind of have to take them at the word when they say that they're going to include us, when they say that they're going to incorporate feedback from us. We have to accept that now is apparently the time. And so I think part of what was being conveyed to all of our presenters, including, you know, Zach Adams and the Brookfield people yesterday, is that if you're going to do these things and if you're going to say that you're going to include us, then you need to include us or else, you know. And I don't know that there was a threat made, but at this point, it's like, look, you can only say the same thing so many times. You can only cry wolf so many times before we stop, you know, playing nice. And so that was sort of a summary of what happened yesterday. It was fun.
It was due to a project that would impact in Midway, right?
Well, it was the NAVWAR redevelopment project with, you know, which is, so the Navy owns that, you know, it's like 70 odd acres, I think 78 acres that they own, where they used to build the bombers at with the old Spaywar site, which they all call NAVWAR. They're partnering with the city of San Diego and Sandag to do something there. They're saying that they still aren't 1,000% sure what it is that they're going to do, but they've been doing work on this project for close to 2 years without really, like I said, including us. The one thing I do want to make sure I pause and make some time to draw effort to, you know, across this entire last few years of me being involved in this committee, we have not once had a representative from the mayor's office come and speak to our Midway Community Planning Group. But on the flip side, Josh Coyne from Dr. Jen Campbell's office has not missed a single meeting. So I want to take a moment to recognize Josh. I know, you know, it's late, it's 9:30, he's still here, but, you know, he doesn't need to be here. You know, we, and I don't want to tell anyone how to do their meetings, you know, but we at our meetings, we typically do government reports at the front. You know, I know that Josh would probably appreciate that, you know, the ability to speak. He probably would stay here the entire time regardless. But I definitely want to make sure I tip the cap to someone like Josh, who, because it has not missed a single meeting in my 2.5 years of involvement.
Thank you. So, David, that'll come our way eventually, is the Spar War project.
Okay. I mean, it's not in our community planning area, but I'm sure that we have an interest in it because it's our next door neighbor for sure. And I look forward to the conversation about it. It'll probably be an information item, I guess. Maybe it's an action item. I don't know. Okay, so one last comment I wanted to make. Mark, you get an honorable mention for an attempt at a background. That was very good, but you need to be better at it. Corla, she knows how to stay in the picture. You kept, she doesn't fall into the bay, but you were falling into the vineyard or whatever that was behind you there. So you're going to have to work on that. But
I know, how low can Don go? You know,
yeah, Don at least he's mostly on the screen there. There he is. There we go.
He's flying down. Yeah, I think he's in his recliner and about to go to sleep there.
All right, everybody. There's a glass of wine waiting for me. I don't know about you guys. Actually, Jim, is he still on? Yeah, Jim, I see you sipping something there. I'm not quite sure what that was, but I'm not going to ask.
Let me be very, very clear. This is water. Okay.
Okay.
Now, it won't be for very long, but it is right now. I would never during a meeting.
Well, and I will also mention now that he's not here, I saw Jeff Page sucking on a couple of bottles of beer during the course of the meeting. So
that's his, he's a citizen.
Absolutely, he's right. Invited. He's entitled. All right, everybody. That's it for tonight.
Thank you, David. Let's give a mention to you for taking this on and taking over. Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure. All right, guys. Have a good evening. Well, see you next month.
Adios.
Or actually, we'll see some of you before then. Bye-bye.
Yeah, let's hit that red button.
Yeah.